much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Please, God, no. Oh, God. 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 Please, God, no.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Let's talk about what happens in your body when you consume alcohol. One or two drinks can impair your reasoning and emotions, which means you can decide to do some dumb things like drink more.
We loaded enough booze on the beer for the entire city of Las Vegas.
Are you on drugs or alcohol?
No, sir.
You take drugs or alcohol?
What is drugs?
And now,
I speak drunk.
Our feature presentation.
I like that, what is drugs? That's a great response.
It is.
It's the best.
Because then the guy asking goes, what? Wait a minute. What's he talking about?
He doesn't
about?
Even know what drugs are. Then he can't be on drugs.
What is drugs? And then how do you start explaining to a guy who doesn't know what drugs is what drugs are?
Right.
Stops you in your tracks.
I love it.
No, it's genius. That guy should be your hero, Kevin.
He is my hero.
You should do everything that guy does. Hey, party people. Welcome in to another Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Thursday. Got an action-packed show for you. First, though, hey, how are you, Lisa?
I'm good, thank you.
When are you going to France, by the way?
I'm leaving Wednesday.
Oh, you're going to France.
Paris.
Nice.
10 days in Paris.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Pretty sweet.
Yep.
You may never come back.
I know.
That's what I hear. We're going to look for her on Locked Up Abroad.
And Kevin, you really may never come back because you're planning on winning the World Series of Poker this year, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's my plan every year.
Again. What's the furthest you've ever gotten?
I don't know, like 113th.
Wow.
Out of
how many people?
Thousands, right?
About 3,000 maybe.
That is not bad.
That's not bad at all. Yeah.
At the time I had the third most though. I was on the leaderboard in the top 10.
No kidding.
But then, you know, on any given hand you can go all in and then you can get eliminated immediately, which I did.
Did you take a photo of your name on the leaderboard?
No.
Because that'd be cool to have.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I wish I would have thought of that. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, here's an optimistic, positive, fun, nice, encouraging, inspirational story to get us going today.
So it's none of that? Is that what you're saying?
It's all of that.
All right.
It may start off in a direction that makes you think.
It may start off
and you might not think, hey, Bean, this is not the uplifting story you promised us. His name is Chad Moretta. He was attending an NBA game in Charlotte, North Carolina back in 2009. Had a great time at the game. Really enjoyed himself at the game. This is a great article from the Huffington Post, by the way. On his way home from the game, he was thinking, man, I had so much fun tonight. Why am I so miserable the rest of my life? Like, why am I working so hard? Why am I not doing the things that I want to do? Why do I feel like I'm always behind the eight ball and I'm not really accomplishing anything? I need to do something to get out of this rut, change my life, come up with a new plan. At that moment that he was having those thoughts, his car hits a deer. It rams into the median, flips four times. He spends the next 6 weeks in and out of the hospital.
Sweet.
Major medical bills, left the hospital $115,000 in debt. Had no money, no life, absolutely miserable, never felt more helpless.
That is inspirational.
This was a serious, serious injury, by the way. I mean, he woke up and he didn't even recognize his own arm. It ended up being broken in 17 places.
Ouch.
He needed dozens and dozens and dozens of stitches. The end.
No, wait,
there's more. What changed his life, though, was that he had bought an iPhone the day before the accident.
Yeah.
While he was in the hospital, he read an article about people who invent apps and how so many of them were becoming rich.
Oh.
And he thought, well, that doesn't sound too difficult to do. So he created his first app, laying there in the hospital bed with no prior experience.
Don't hit a deer with your car.
It was called Fingerprint Security Pro, and basically it's just a goof. It's just you set it up so that it recognizes your fingerprint, or, you know, it pretends to, and then, you know, you could goof your friends on it because it won't act. It doesn't work. It won't go green for them. It only goes green for you,
right? Oh, that's funny.
It's a trick, basically. It's a 99-cent app that's basically just a trick to play for your friends. Oh, seriously, it's a fingerprint thing. You try it. Oh, you can't go in. Sorry. So he didn't know anything about making apps. So he found a company that builds apps, and he sketched it out on a napkin and said, here's what I want it to look like, and here's what I want it to do. Can you do that? And they said, yeah. And they created it, and it became a huge hit, made over $700,000 for him. Wow. Then he started creating other apps. Now he's got over 50 of them with more than 50 million downloads. Remember, this all just happened in 2009, by the way.
Wow.
His business now operates out of San Francisco. He's got employees. His projected revenue this year, over $6 million.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
He says the best thing that ever happened to him in his life was that car accident. Even though his arm will never work properly again, he says his hands don't work that well. It's hard for him to type, but he was going down the wrong path, and the accident is the thing he gives the credit to for changing everything.
He has a lot of creativity. I wonder if that accident like changed his brain.
Yeah, turned
and
him
made
into
him
a super
all creative.
Genius.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. But the timing of the thing. He's driving along thinking how unhappy he is. Next thing you know, he's in the hospital, and it kind of forces him to do something different at that point. So, I don't know. I just thought that was a neat story.
It's also
nice to see a story where somebody is, you know, investing in technology and winning big, because there's so many
around
these days where that's not the case.
Yeah. But I also think it takes a certain something to come up with an app that no one's thought of that's successful.
Right.
So I don't know that everybody could do that. So
no.
Don't go out and hit a deer today. That's what I'm saying.
Really? Because that was my takeaway.
I'm saying maybe not for everyone. That's all.
Okay. That's good advice, too.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't want to answer that question. That's a clown question, bro.
Clown question. Felipe Esparza, comedian,
yeah,
in studio.
Love
He's
it. So yes. Mexican.
He is.
And
he's
very the funny. Most Mexican guy I know.
He is. We have Harvey Weinstein coming
sure
up.
Sure we do.
About a half hour from now.
Really? It's happening today? It's
supposed to happen today just after 6, yeah.
Okay.
Maggie Gyllenhaal will be on the program today.
Yeah.
Talking about a movie called Hysteria. If you haven't seen the trailer for Hysteria, it looks really good.
It does.
Brand new internet roundup for you. We have funny man Brad Williams in the studio, who apparently has been hit by a car 3 times now.
Where's his app?
good question. And we also have, let's see, did I say Chad Kagi?
You did not.
I did not. From the X Games, BMX writer. We have comedian Doug Benson. And we have Dr. Drew.
That's too much.
I know. We got to get started immediately with the Showbiz Beat that's coming up.
And that is Ralph Garman over there in that corner, taking a look at the first Showbiz Beat of the morning. Hi, Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about if I give away some tickets to the world premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yay!
Red carpet premiere happening at the Regency Village Theater in Westwood on Thursday, June the 28th. Of course, the movie will be in theaters everywhere around the world Tuesday, July the 3rd, but you'll get to see it before all your friends, and you get to hang out with the cast, including the lovely and talented Emma Stone. Love her so much. Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, Dennis Leary, Martin Sheen, Sally Field, Risa Fons, and more will be there. And so will you if you can answer my trivia question. I'll give it to the first person who gets through at the phone number 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Here's the trivia question. Three people have been the Green Goblin. Of course, Spider-Man's most deadly nemesis, the Green Goblin. He hurls stun pumpkins, you know.
Sure.
Three different people have been the Green Goblin. Just name them. 1-800-520-1067. All three.
All right.
This is the real deal. It's getting tough. We're getting down to the end of the week.
Weren't they all named the Green Goblin?
These two.
I think he wants the other name.
The people under the mask of the Green Goblin.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We're getting down to the end of the week. I got fewer and fewer tickets. I want to make sure people really earn them. So, hardcore Spider-Man fans, you should be able to get this one.
All right.
Okay, let's talk about showbiz news. Sad, sad news in the world of modeling. Marissa Miller is pregnant.
No. Yeah. Unacceptable.
Oh my God.
Tragic news.
What's Psycho Mike going to do? Has anyone checked in on him?
No one has, but perhaps someone should get over there and see if he's all right.
She was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, right?
Yes. Swimsuit. 2008.
Yeah.
She's been featured in the magazine many, many times.
Yep.
Expecting her first child with her husband, Griffin Guess. In the fall. Griffin Guess, by the way, sounds like a Spider-Man villain. It should not be a person that she's married to.
And Marissa, by the way, as opposed to, say, your girlfriend Kate Upton, Kevin, is a very smart girl with a very winning personality.
Are you suggesting that Kate Upton isn't very smart?
And doesn't have a winning personality?
I may be suggesting that, yes. Marissa Miller is the real deal, is what I'm saying.
I will.
Remember we had her on? She was talking. She was talking football all day. Remember?
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with you on Marissa Miller.
Kate Upton's charming, by the way.
She is.
Is she?
Yeah. You ever seen her interviewed?
Seems dumb.
It's all right.
Good. What are we going to do?
If you're good enough in one area, let the other areas go.
Yeah. I agree. I agree.
While we're talking about babies, actress and model Molly Sims had a baby boy on Tuesday. Weighed in at just over 7 pounds. Is the first child for her and her husband, Scott Stuber. And flamboyant sports artist Leroy Neiman has passed away. Legendary sports artist, worked mostly in brightly colored impressionistic paintings and sketches for major sporting events. Died at the age of 91 years old. What a career.
You would recognize his work, Kevin, if you would. You may not know the name, but you would know.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He
pretty big in the art world, so.
Yeah.
Right.
This guy was big everywhere. If you saw his work, you'd know. Absolutely, it was a Neiman. He started his career, really, in Playboy magazine.
Really?
Became a contributing artist for Playboy, became very popular because his work was featured in that, and then he started doing famous stuff for the Olympic Games and for the Ali fights. Good life. Well lived. 91 years old. President Obama's having another Hollywood fundraiser.
All right.
Yeah. Here's the thing. A fascinating story I read the other day that Obama has done more fundraisers than the past 6 presidents combined.
Wow, really?
And he is still behind in spending and fundraising against the Republicans.
Wow.
Yeah. Even with all the money, he's amassed more money than any sitting president, but he's still spending less than the GOP is spending to try to oust him. So it just goes to show you that the spending in the elections has just gotten ridiculous.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
I don't know why, and we don't need to get into this, but I don't know why a president needs to spend very much money to go for re-election. Everybody knows who he is. Everybody can see what he's doing. It seems like that ought to be enough.
Well, generally, they don't have to spend as much. I think that's true.
But the machine still costs. I mean,
you have to
buy advertising time. You have to do all the stuff that everyone does in an election.
Yeah.
That stuff all costs money.
All that money is just to sway a very small percentage of people who haven't made up their minds
yet. Just Kevin Costner. He's the only one.
Right.
That one guy. Yep.
The event is set for this week. A week from this Friday. And it is going to be hosted by Gen 44. The cheapest ticket starts at $500. The evening's being hosted by Maria Bello and Zach Braff. And Peter Frampton's going to be playing there.
Okay.
Huh?
That's interesting.
Legendary political animal Peter Frampton.
Wait, are you reading the guests on the Tonight Show tonight? What are you talking about?
No, isn't that,
that's the
bizarre
political fundraiser?
Yeah, according to Hollywood Reporter, this is what's going to happen. So check that out.
What's your question, Lisa?
I don't have a question. It just sounded kind of interesting.
That's weird.
I want you to vote for Obama. Little Liar
is certain that her role as Elizabeth Taylor in Liz and Dick will lead to great things. She was worried about whether she could pull the role off or not, so she had to look into another realm for the answers, according to friends.
What realm?
The realm of the afterlife, Kevin.
Yes.
Apparently she got a hold of one of Elizabeth Taylor's old hairbrushes. Hired a medium to conduct a seance.
Yes.
And Elizabeth Taylor came through from the other side.
Sure.
And told Lindsay that the part would relaunch her career.
Nope.
Yep. Elizabeth Taylor visited her from the other side.
Let's be honest. All she has to do is nail something really, really well, and she's right back.
She nails something well all the time at these parties, and that's the problem.
I mean, as an actress.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. She needs a hit.
Yeah.
That's all.
Right. She peaked at age 15, as we've discussed before. Mean Girls was the best thing she ever did, and she's never matched it.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And these romances in Hollywood sometimes strike in the oddest places. You know, Mad Men, Vincent Kartheiser, who's on that show, he plays Pete Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
He's cheating on his wife, Trudy, with Alexis Bledel from the Gossip Girls on the show. At least this past season, and apparently they've hit it off. They are spending all their time together now.
Really?
They're very much in love, yeah. They have been spotted smooching it up on a cross-country flight and been dating for a few months now, so congratulations to the
new
couple.
It's not like actors to meet on a TV set and start dating.
No, it's not. And sad news, apparently Bristol Palin's new reality show is not doing well. That's right, Bristol Palin has a new reality show.
Wait, it's already on, though?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, overtime, I heard about it from you on the showbiz, but I didn't know it was already on.
The overtime Nielsen ratings show that more than a million people left the Lifetime network for other shows when Mr. Palin Life's a Trip premiered on Tuesday.
Wow.
So she had a lead-in from Dance Moms of 1.8 million viewers. The minute her show started, the viewership dropped to 800,000. A million people just had to go out of their way to avoid watching that show.
I'm out.
Yeah. By the way, Bristol has announced that she has taken a vow of celibacy. Well, it's a little late for that.
Yeah, don't you think?
Really?
Especially she said that to her small child, did she?
She did, yes.
Especially when it was so public.
I think we have an answer to my trivia question. Peter on line six. Peter?
Yes, hello.
Hello, I need the three secret identities of the men who have been the Green Goblin.
Okay, Norman Osborn,
right.
Harry Osborn,
right.
And Bart Hamilton.
That's right. Congratulations, sir. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to the very special red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, amazing. Thank you, guys.
You're very welcome.
Nicely done. Thanks for listening.
Of course, Norman Osborn.
Well, you don't have to tell us.
Was the father of Peter Parker's best friend, Harry Osborn.
Right.
And then Harry Osborn, his son, Peter's best friend, took up the mantle of his worst enemy, Kevin.
Why are you telling us this? Like, we don't know.
And then Bart Hamilton, Harry's therapist, he becomes the Green Goblin.
That's what really got me.
This is bad news, this Green Goblin phenomenon, in my opinion. That's how I feel. And I'm not budging off of it. Sorry, I'm not.
Nobody can change your mind?
No.
Very controversial opinion, Ralph. Stick with it.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Doug Savant from Desperate Housewives and Melrose Place. He is 48 years old today. Comedian Jim Brewer celebrates his 45th birthday. Juliette Lewis.
She's crazy, right?
She's crazy. But I like her.
39 years old today. Guitarist Mike Enziger from Incubus celebrates his 36th birthday. Erica Durance.
There you go.
Oh, how I miss Smallville. I miss my Lois Lane from Smallville. She's 34 years old. Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation, 33 years old. Brandon Flowers of The Killers is 31. Lana Del Rey celebrates her 26th birthday. Well, obviously. And Rebecca Black.
It's crazy.
She's 15 years old today and just won't go the F away.
That's true.
She's hanging on like herpes. Happy birthday, Rebecca. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Del Taco, that's the place to be this summer. You can pick up your free K-Rock sticker there, put it on the back of your car, and then mail in the back, and you could win a 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid and a 2012 Honda Motorcycle, plus tickets to that upcoming Honda Civic Tour with our friends Linkin Park and Incubus. You can go to any Southern California Del Taco location to pick up your sticker. I would recommend this one, though. And that is in Tustin, just off the 5 freeway at Red Hill Avenue. Beer Mug, you're going to be back out at Del Taco today from noon till 2.
Yeah, and if you want Warped Tour tickets or Chili Peppers tickets, get your butt down there.
Those look like a pretty good time when you do those things at noon.
Nicely done.
Short and sweet.
That's the first time Muggs has ever really come through on that.
You can get all of the information, including how to win all that cool stuff, at krock.com. And please say hello to Del Taco for us. All right, we're going to have a very exciting interview here in a moment. We're waiting for Harvey Weinstein to get on the line. I'm a little bit nervous. I don't get that nervous very often when we interview people.
He's a big deal.
He's larger than life,
yes.
Yes. I feel like if we don't do a good job, Kevin, he literally could have us rubbed out. And I don't even think he has to make a phone call. I just think he has to like look a certain way at his people and they'll know.
Wishes it and you drop in your tracks.
Yes, sir. Yeah. He doesn't even
Is that how it works?
Doesn't have to use people.
That's impressive.
He just thinks it and we die.
Now I'm afraid.
I tried to watch a trailer for this movie, but I got the wrong one. It was in French. So I'm looking for
This is a French language film.
Yes.
This is French language. Oh. But look, this is a step up from the last movie that Harvey put out that we talked about, which was The Artist, Kevin, which didn't have any dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right up Kevin's alley lately. Just batting 1,000. I love that.
How long do we wait before we go to the internet roundup, which we have standing by?
What's producer Dave say?
Who knows? Hey, Dave, what's going on?
They were transferring him and he dropped.
Dead?
So.
somebody's going to be smote as a result of this failure. He's been in the film business about 25 years. The movies that he has produced and distributed have been nominated for more than 300 Academy Awards in the last 25 years. His company's movies have won 75 Oscars.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, the English That's Patient and
stunning.
Pulp Fiction and The Piano and The Crying Game and Inglorious Bastards and the King's Speech and, of course, The Artist. The list just goes on and on and on. It's insane. None of that gets him on our phone.
That's right. That's the problem.
So it doesn't matter how many big movies he has out. None of them get him
because
on the phone.
Because he has
talk about
bigger
it.
Names on every other line. Every single line.
Yeah, that's
better
true.
Than us, I'm sure.
All right, time for the Internet Aww. Roundup. Who's with me?
Dang it. Really?
Ask Dave one more time. Is he getting any kind of update or should we just bail?
Any kind of update, Dave?
I got nothing.
All right.
Damn.
How about a new Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Do it. Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
You go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com, and you can see our brand new Internet Roundup. We got a bunch of videos for you. Some of them are really short and really funny, like the iguana in the bathtub farting.
No, one step below Close. Before poop.
Farting.
An iguana that, farted?
An iguana farted.
Really?
Farted like you've never seen an iguana fart before, Lisa.
But listen.
Very exciting.
Yep, that was it. That's all the audio we have. That was it.
Do
that's
it again.
The reason. That's yeah. that's the reason right there to have the internet, to justify the internet's existence.
Here's a hedgehog running in a sink. I don't know. I think this is turning into cute corner. There's a hedgehog in a sink, and it's full of water. It's not full of water, but there's water covering the bottom. And he's running as fast as he possibly can and going nowhere.
It's kind of sad, by the way.
Not really.
Aww.
I feel bad for the little hedgehog trying to get out of the sink. He's probably scared.
Yeah.
People like watching hedgehogs run, though.
They sure do. That's what I know. 5-second film, family heirloom.
One day I'll pass this on to you.
Just like your mental illness?
Yep, just like my mental illness.
That's it. Fantastic. These 5-second movies seem like they're impossible. This is Group Love.
Hey, guys, we're hanging out with Group Love. How you guys doing? You killed our guitarist!
I play guitar.
That's pretty strong. Ryan Gosling. When he was a little kid, Ryan Gosling was singing and dancing. If you get about 45 seconds into it, he starts dancing and he's going through the crowd and he's breaking.
And it looks like he's on some sort of a competition show, like a Star Search
yeah,
or something
exactly.
like that. And this was a video that nobody's ever seen before that somebody in the audience shot and recently uncovered and said, hey, that's Ryan Gosling on stage, like a 9-year-old or something.
This is him singing. Tell it to him. He
looks a lot
super young, but yeah, he looks pretty much the same.
That is not bad.
And he dances like a crazy man. And I don't know if you watch this, Bean, but there's also a girl that's dancing, and the spotlight is only on Ryan Gosling the whole time. Little girl gets no spotlight love. This is a song called Milk in My Sippy Cup, song and video. It's a little, how old would you say, 2 years old?
Yeah, just babies.
And, you know, he fills up a sippy cup with milk and he puts a song to it and then he puts a video to it. Playing with my music toys, now I'm making lots of noise, making lots of friends with all of the other girls and boys. Don't give me skim, mommy, give me that hole. Sitting sideways in my truck, that's how I roll. I'm drinking that milk in my sippy cup. Milk in my sippy cup. That'll be going through your head all day. We also have this another cover of If I Was Your Girlfriend. There are 7 million of these. This is the girl, I believe, that Dave is in love with the crazy eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy eyes.
Your eyes are golden. 6'3", easy go when you can sleep. Well, always knowing I'm looking out for you, baby. Hey, I just saw you with that lady. Paid for her dinner. That's kind of shady.
Yeah, that's Call Me Maybe. Sorry. Not if I was.
Yeah, she's the one who Dave fell in love with, and we all did, with her boyfriend parody video, and now she's back with Call Me Baby. But she does have the crazy eyes, and she does seem like a stalker.
And then,
that's why she's so fun.
And then there are dogs and cats singing or performing Call Me Maybe.
Hey,
all right.
What's going on?
We don't need
to see your corgi singing Call Me Baby.
We really don't. I think we need to reel Dave in. He's really starting to make this cute corner. And I thought we voted
can't
to Yelp that.
Himself.
This is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I don't know who it is or why he's doing it. But the U.S. Open has just wrapped up. Bob Costas is interviewing the winner. And some dude steps right in front of the camera.
Got off to a slow start, but I knew that...
and he runs off.
I knew.
Always something to spice matters up.
The guy he was arrested. He does that everywhere. That's his thing. He's an environmentalist, and this is his way of calling attention to the deforestation of the planet.
So funny.
Yep.
Wasn't it funny, though? He steps literally in the shot so you can't see Bob Costas or the winner of the tournament.
And then he does a bird call?
In a chicken suit.
Then he does a bird call. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Jimmy Kimmel gives people challenges, and for Father's Day, he had people spray their dads with a hose.
This year, for Father's Day, I asked you to spray your dad with a hose.
I got hot tea! Damn you! Son of a bitch!
You're grounded! Hey! Son of a bitch!
They were not happy necessarily.
These are unbelievable videos because some of the people take their hose into the house and spray dad when he's on the couch or in bed or something like that. And some of them get so mad.
And in this particular one, Jimmy's son sprays him when he's showing up to work with a hose. Actors against acting athletes with Gary Oldman. This is one of Jimmy's that he does before or after the NBA Finals game.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Gary Oldman telling actors to stick to basketball because he's an actor and he knows acting and he would never think to play basketball.
Stay the out of movies! Who the hell told you you could act? The director on your Powerade commercial? You're not actors! Some of you can't even speak English!
Very funny. Very funny. And finally, Jack McBrayer and Triumph the Insult Dog visit Chicago's Wiener Circle. Now, I don't know what Chicago's Wiener Circle is and if it's always this way.
Yes, it's always this way. It's a place that is famous for their tremendous hot dogs, just like Pink's in L.A., except you also get a healthy side of abuse when you go.
They scream
it's like
at you.
It's like the soup Nazi. Yeah, they basically make it as miserable as possible for the customers, and that's what people love.
So I think this is a Conan O'Brien thing. He sent in Jack McBrayer, who plays the intern.
That's right.
On
the
30
page.
Rock?
Yeah.
The page. And Triumph the Insult Dog. And they go in, and Triumph the Insult Dog tries to get it over on these people who are always yelling.
You listen to me, Queen Laquifa! Listen to you in your mouth. Do you kiss your pimp with that mouth?
You know what they say.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? That's perfectly natural where he comes from.
She said he's about sleeping with his sister. He's nice. Like, what's wrong with that? That's perfectly natural. It's very funny to watch people scream at each other. And Triumph the Insult Dog, very, very good at insulting. So it turns out to be a pretty good competition. Mm-hmm. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup. Go to KevinandBean.com or KRock.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I know we've said this before, but this time I think I'm not lying. The king of Hollywood, Harvey Weinstein, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Harvey. How are you?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean.
You are legendary in Hollywood for the way that you promote your movies and the success that you have had doing that, but I don't recall ever hearing you do radio interviews before to talk about a movie. This one must be something very special for you.
Well, I love the movie, and normally it would have been this wonderful actor from the movie. His name is Omar Sy, but he got held up for 2 or 3 weeks, and my staff very nicely decided to volunteer me for all of this.
Fantastic!
and if I stink, just give me the hook. I'm used to giving people the hook.
This movie that Harvey is referring to is called The Untouchables, and it is out now in limited release at the Landmark in L.A., also at the ArcLight Theaters in Hollywood and Sherman Oaks. And I wonder, so many of the films that you choose, you start by having to push a rock up a hill because you pick movies that are small, that are challenging, in this case, foreign. It seems like there's got to be an easier way for you to do your job than to pick the toughest movies in the world to promote, Harvey.
You know what? I decided I'm just going to do The Avengers, too.
Yes!
It's too hard. Forget it,
Do that and then go on vacation.
You know, it's funny. You do a movie like The Untouchables, and the audience sees this movie. And let's get all the hardships out of the way. It's French, it's subtitles, but it's also the biggest comedy in the world. Everybody's going to see the film. It's the feel-good movie that people love. And you know what happens? The people say to you, wow, I love that movie. And it's the same way people felt about The Artist, and it's the same way they feel about Life is Beautiful, and just some of those movies. And I think people will see this and say, this is a great buddy story, about, two unlikely friends and all the misadventures and fun that they get into. So I love the movie, and I'm happy to, get the word out.
It does seem like Americans have come slowly a long way toward understanding that we don't make all the good movies in the world, and there's a lot that's out there that's worth dipping into. I mean, I think you're right, and I think your companies have been part of the reason for that.
Well, I mean, if we don't support, you know, the culture around the world, I think, you know, we're making huge mistakes. And on just on a plain old enjoyment level, so many people thank you at the end of the day. Look, I make movies like The King's Speech. You know, people, right. You know, said to me, "You're nuts! You're making a movie about somebody who stutters." You know, so I mean, and then the thanks and the feeling we got, and the Academy recognition, or the artist silent. You know, better to, you know, I like taking challenges, but that doesn't, you know, hide the fact that these movies are wildly entertaining too.
Does it scare you when people say, "This is awesome, I'm glad, this is great, this is a great decision"? Does that scare you a little bit? Because you seem to pick movies so often where they go, "Wait a minute, I'm not sure this will work."
Now, guys, remember, I make the Quentin Tarantino movies.
Sure.
Too, so, you know, so people just usually say, "Awesome." And then when they see the Django trailer, they go, "More awesome."
Right.
And I just want to, on behalf of Quentin, promise every K-Rock fan that we leave nobody behind, you know, on
can't
Django.
Wait. Can't wait.
I can't wait to see that.
Every bad guy in the place gets what he deserves.
You've got that, and you also have the Paul Thomas Anderson movie coming out this year, too, that looks unbelievable. I mean, it's going to be a great 2012
Paul
for
just released, you know, a new, you know, teaser trailer from the film, you know, and he cuts these things himself, and it's, you know, homemade, and I can tell you that the movie is one of the most exciting and really brilliant films, you know, that I've been involved in, and I really can't wait for the audience to see the film in these three amazing performances by Joaquin Phoenix, Amy Adams, and of course Philip Seymour Hoffman as the master.
Well, one of the reasons I always enjoy seeing you on the TV or, you know, doing press wherever you are is that, like Martin Scorsese, it seems like you're a guy who's still desperately in love with film. You couldn't imagine doing anything else, I bet, and that really comes across with your passion. This film is called The Intouchables, and it is playing, as I mentioned, in the Landmark LA and the Arc Lights at Hollywood and Sherman Oaks. Harvey, I wish we had more time. Maybe we can do it again sometime.
Well, I love it, and I'll tell you, you know, I saw a movie that had nothing to do with Oliver Stone, just made this movie, Savages.
Can't wait.
Blake Lively kills in it. It's great. I saw
Fantastic.
It last night.
I'm Amazing so glad movie. To hear that. All right,
thanks,
Harvey.
Guys.
Thank you very
thank
much for
you.
Coming on. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye now.
For a change, we're bringing some comedy onto the Kevin and Bean Show today. Our friend Brad Williams joins us in the 7 o'clock hour. Doug Benson will be here at 8, and then Felipe Esparza will be here at 9. That's maybe too much comedy.
And we've got comedian Maggie Gyllenhaal on the phone now.
Oh, she's hilarious. Are you kidding me? She's a laugh riot. Maggie is back on the big screen in a film called Hysteria that we have talked about quite a bit on the show. Now we can see it. Hi, Maggie. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Hysteria, by the way. Hilarious title for folks who are not familiar with what this film is about. Tell people what we used to call hysteria around the world.
I guess, you know, the turn of the last century, women who weren't allowed to work or get educated or decide how many babies they wanted to have would get understandably depressed and anxious and unhappy, and people would call them hysterical. And at the same time, sometimes those women would go to the doctor, and as a cure for hysteria, their doctor would give them an orgasm.
And there you go.
Those who didn't understand that because the phone is a little weak, their doctor would give them an orgasm.
Yeah, I'm guessing that didn't happen at home a lot
Can
either.
Can you imagine how...
I think that might have been part of the problem, that it wasn't happening at home a lot.
Yeah,
right, but, exactly.
Can you imagine how popular that doctor was?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it probably, I mean, I don't know how often this was actually happening, but the movie is a comedy, and so we take some liberties with it, but that is actually where the vibrator was invented, which is the subject of...
Come on, how about that? Why am I the only one clapping? What's happening here?
And the vibrator since then has kept many marriages together, so it was actually a good thing. It did seem like that women's sexuality was pretty low on the list of things that science was eager to study in the early days. Like, it was not considered much of a priority, because back then, and it's hard for me to imagine this now, Maggie, but I mean, women weren't even expected to enjoy sex, right?
You know, look, I think there were probably always people who were hoping that the women they were making love to were enjoying it. You know, I mean, we've been having sex since the beginning of our existence, obviously, and so I guess I believe there were always people who understood that, and there were always people who didn't. But even the idea that that would help, you know, which I don't think is totally off. I mean, obviously, I don't want to be having orgasms in my doctor's office, but maybe it did help, you know.
Let's not rush that decision.
I don't want you to give away anything about hysteria that is best saved for the screen. I mean, but were his techniques considered credible back then? I mean, or did people think, hey, he's just a quack, he's just a weirdo who's trying to get the ladies naked in his office?
Well, you know, the movie, like I said, it's a comedy, and it's kind of a broad comedy, so we definitely take liberties with it. But the idea in the movie is that, yes, it was considered all right. They didn't call it an orgasm. The doctors thought, or at least they said they thought, that it wasn't sexual, that the women were having paroxysms. That's what they called it. But, you know, the movie's like, I don't actually have anything to do with the vibrator in the movie. I play a suffragette who is into orgasms, but not into having them, you know, in their doctor's office.
Yeah, you're a wet blanket is what you are.
The doctor's, what are you, uptight?
Or the doctor's new practice.
But the women who do have orgasms in the movie, it's like, you know, it's like there's an opera singer, and when she's having her orgasm, she, like, hits the highest note. You know, like you know, I mean, I guess in the end, I sort of convinced the doctor, who I also fall in love with, that it is an orgasm. It's a real orgasm. You know, feels good for a lot of reasons, and maybe a doctor's office isn't the right place for it.
It's so funny that they called that the literal, doctoring term is hysteria. I mean, it's so funny that they named it that.
Yeah. Maggie Gyllenhaal is on the phone here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're talking about her film called Hysteria. It is playing at the Lemleys all over town. I think we have a clip that may reference the scene that Maggie was just talking about. Listen up.
According to your diagnosis, hysteria seems to cover everything from insomnia to toothache.
It's nothing
more than a catch-all for dissatisfied women. Women forced to spend their lives on domestic chores and their prudish and selfish husbands who are unwilling or unable to make love to them properly or often enough.
You seem to have strong opinions on husbands. For a woman who doesn't have one.
Look, if you don't believe me, ask your patients.
There you go.
I'm sorry, I thought that was going to be you. It was some British chick instead, Maggie. Our mistake. We apologize. Great cast. Hugh Dancy is in the film, Jonathan Pryce, and Rupert Everett, too. Again, the film is called Hysteria. Hey, one question before you go. Have you seen the new Batman movie yet, Maggie?
No, is it out already?
No, it's not yet. But I figure, you know, you're in the family. I figure you're in the, you know...
She was in the family until the last one.
I figured that, you know, you probably knew people who knew people. You might get an early peek, but not yet, huh?
I haven't seen it. No. I have a new baby also, so I have not.
Yes, congratulations on that, too, by the way. That's awesome. All right, Maggie, thank you so much for joining us. The film is called Hysteria. We enjoyed talking to you. Have a great one.
Yeah, you too.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
No, that's ID. I mean, that's identical. I mean, that's perfect. That's how you should do it.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I stand by that.
That's ID. That's identical,
actually.
Perfect. What does that mean? What's going on?
I don't know.
6:35, Ralph is here. Showbiz Beat. Then Brad Williams joins us in studio. So start adjusting the chairs, Beer Mug.
Okay. Nothing? We got no context for that moment with? Nothing? Nobody knows where that was from?
My understanding, it was from the conversation that you guys had with Doto. He was explaining something to you.
Oh, that could be, yeah.
Kevin approved, I think.
It's ID.
At least he thought it was you. So.
Identical.
I got that going for me.
Perfect. Before I get to showbiz news, how about some passes to the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man?
Yay!
It says here in my paperwork it's the world premiere, but several people have pointed out there's already been premieres in, like, Tokyo and London or something else. So it's not the world premiere, but it's certainly the American premiere. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Who is he?
Spider-Man.
That's right.
Spider-Man.
That's right.
Does whatever a spider can.
What else?
Spins a web any size. Catches thieves just like flies.
Look out. Here comes the Spider-Man. It's happening at the Regency Theater in Westwood on Thursday, June the 28th. Of course, the movie's in theaters everywhere Tuesday, July the 3rd. You're going to see it, though, on the red carpet with Andrew Garfield, who's the new Spider-Man. Emma Stone plays his girlfriend, Gwen Stacy. Dennis Leary, Martin Sheen, Sally Field, Risa Fons, who plays the Lizard. Very cool. Here's your trivia question. Spider-Man fans will know this. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, he gets bit by a radioactive spider.
True.
He gains enormous power. But at first, he doesn't want to use that power for good. He wants to be selfish with it. And so he does things like appear on television, and he takes on a professional wrestler who's much larger than he is in order to beat him and win the grand prize.
Love it. That's what I would do.
Then, through bad decisions on his part, he's semi-responsible for the death of his uncle. And he realizes, with great power comes great responsibility.
Sure.
In the movies, the wrestler that he fought was Randy Savage, played Bonesaw McGraw, the character in the Tobey Maguire movies. I want to know the name of the wrestler Peter Parker battles in the comics. In the comic books, what was the name of the professional wrestler Peter Parker took on to selfishly win that prize money? 1-800-520-1067. It's the number to call. First person gets through with the right answer, bang, boom, bang.
Bang, boom, and bang.
You get yourself a pair of passes to The Amazing Spider-Man. Here's a movie we may not see.
Okay, good.
Hysteria?
The sequel to Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, I thought they announced that a
while
back.
Well, they did announce it. But apparently Jim Carrey has walked off the project. And this is the biggest ego line I've heard coming out of show business in some time.
Ooh,
and that's saying something. Jeff Daniels has walked off the project because he said he felt that New Line and Warner Brothers showed a lack of enthusiasm for the movie. You're not excited enough about my movie, so I'm quitting.
That's weird.
They're paying for it, they're making it, but they're not as excited about it as he wants them to be. You guys just don't seem too excited about this.
When they get on set, he wants them to jump up and down and high-five each other.
They haven't even got to the set part, but... Oh. Just in pre-production, he thought they showed a lack of enthusiasm.
Huh.
So, he's off. So we won't get to see Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels anytime soon in the Dumb and Dumber sequel, which I think is a blessing for Jeff Daniels. But
as do I.
Yeah.
And us.
Martin Scorsese's making that movie Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio as the real-life disgraced stockbroker Jordan Belfort. Rob Reiner has just been cast to play his dad in that film. That's interesting casting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see him acting again. It's been a while since he's been
Wolf
in a movie. This is sad news. Green Day was supposed to do a free surprise concert today in Burbank, California.
Right.
But it's not happening.
That sucks.
It was supposed to be a surprise outdoor show, but at the last minute, the city denied them the permits necessary because of crowd control issues. And once the location of the concert got out, officials were afraid the people would get hurt, so they've pulled the plug. No Green Day concert today in Burbank. And talking about crowds, Justin Bieber was at the Pearson Airport in Toronto last Friday waiting for his girlfriend Selena Gomez to land. But there was a pack of adoring fans there. They started demanding pictures and autographs from Justin, and he snapped, yelled at them, demanding to be left alone because, in his quote, "I'm just a human being." Oh. Go F yourself. Here's the thing. You're not just a human being. You're just a human being with marginal talent who's been remarkably lucky to enjoy massive success thanks to these little teenage girls who are buying your records that are crappy.
Wow.
So either take time out and take pictures and sign autographs, or don't stand in the effing airport waiting for your girlfriend to get into the gate. You prick.
Can't you imagine that he could also sit someplace facing a window with a hat on and no one would know?
He could go to the first class lounge and wait for her there or something. I'm sure there's ways around it. But no, now he's starting that descent of, leave me alone, I'm just a human being, I need my privacy.
Just a human being.
Kill yourself. Kill yourself like a depressed human being would. You bastard. We have an answer to my trivia question? I think Steve on line 2 has my answer. Steve?
Yeah.
What's the name of the wrestler Peter Parker takes on in the comics?
Crusher Hogan.
Crusher Hogan, correct.
Crusher Hogan.
Crusher Hogan. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details. You are going to the world premiere, or the North American premiere, of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We got a winner! Oh,
yeah. We do.
Finally
we
fit.
We did have a winner.
Finally did at the right time.
Today's celebrity birthday is Doug Savant from Desperate Housewives of Melrose Place is 48. Comedian Jim Brewer is 45. Juliette Lewis is 39. Mike Enzinger of Incubus turns 36. Erica Durance of Smallville fame is 34. Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation turns 33. Brandon Flowers of The Killers is 31. Lana Del Rey is 26 years old today. And singer Rebecca Black celebrates her 15th birthday.
She's 15, 15. She has just turned 15. I wish that she would take her own life.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Guys, I saved somebody's life, seriously.
They would have died. They would have died if it wasn't for me. I saved their life. They owe me.
Yes, I did.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock here on a Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Brad Williams joins us in studio. Brad is on Twitter at FunnyBrad, BradWilliamsComedy.com. See him on stage tonight in Irvine at the Irvine Improv with Adam Carolla. You are a guest on Adam's podcast, or he's a guest on yours? Which is which tonight?
I am a guest on his podcast tonight.
So tickets just $25, available through AdamCarolla.com, and then the weekend of July 4th in Ontario at the Improv. What's this deal about you saving somebody's life, Brad?
Well, here it's not so much that I did that. It's more along the lines of I got hit by a bus.
Right. Okay. Let me just back up. Brad tweets, and this is how I found out about it.
Yeah.
I just pushed a guy out of the way and got hit by a bus. Now.
Correct.
Brad, how tall are you?
4 foot nothing.
How tall is a bus?
About 8 feet.
Okay.
7 to 8 feet.
And it weighs about 7 million times as much as you.
Yes.
If you get hit by a bus, you're not here today.
Logic would say death.
So,
bus plus Brad Williams equals bus.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So at what point are you lying?
Well, here, I will tell you the full story. I was in Kansas City flying home, and I was in, with a group of people on an island, like right as you were getting to the terminal, like, you know, those little islands that like shuttles drop you off in.
Yes.
And we all step out, and then we all notice a bus coming, and we go, okay, don't step out. One guy is having headphones on.
Uh-huh.
He walks out, doesn't pay attention to the bus. We start screaming at him. Bus,
right?
And he's just like, "Yeah, great band."
And then at that point, and then at that point, you say, "Someone tall, push him out of the way."
Yeah, and no one's running out there. I'm just like, "Screw it!" So I run out there, shove him out of the way of the bus. I try to get out of the way. Bus clips my leg and my hip.
Really?
Spins me around. I fall over. And, yeah, but I mean, like, how lame is it if you're a perfectly able-bodied person, you're like, someone should do something, like the midget
like
here.
That little guy.
He should save that person.
But then did they put you on their shoulders and, hey, you know, like a hero?
No!
Come on!
Well, they kind of did. The guy who I actually pushed out of the way never thanked me.
Is that right?
And here's the thing. He could have, like, I understand maybe the shock of, like, okay, maybe.
I just got shoved.
Yeah, I just got shoved. My life is saved. Oh, look, there's a dwarf.
Right.
Like, it's all too much.
That's too much.
That's a lot. I get that. But then the dude was on my flight from Kansas City nonstop to Los Angeles.
Okay.
He had 3 hours to come by and say, can I get you a rum and coke? Or something.
At the very least, thanks. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, and it didn't help that he was a ginger. That didn't help at all.
Oh, see. That's why.
And then I'm thinking, like, why did I save him? He's a ginger. He has no soul anyway.
Those dirty people scarier than little people.
Yeah.
So, Brad, I'm fascinated by this, and I know that you've replayed this in your mind many times, but at the time it was happening, it's instant. I mean, it happens in a matter of seconds, right?
Right.
So do you think what was going on is that the other people that you were standing with on the island, they all saw this dude out in the street with headphones on, they all realized that a bus was coming and he didn't know it,
mm-hmm.
and they just froze, they just panicked, they didn't know what to do, like it didn't snap, hey, somebody needs to alert this guy and pull him out of the traffic?
I think that's what happened, or maybe because they were on the shuttle with him while he had the headphones on, maybe he was like listening to Nickelback.
Yeah.
Or something, and they thought,
let him go.
No deserves big deal. don't deserve nothing. Not losing a cancer cure, people. Not losing a cancer cure.
So what did you do? Did you tackle him to the ground or something?
I didn't tackle him.
He's
just like,
Brad,
yeah, I can't tackle anybody.
For God's sake.
I just like run and like shoved him. And then he got
shoved him out of the way.
Yeah.
Even right immediately after that, he didn't go, thanks, dude.
Nothing. Just get up like, well, you know, I don't know if he thought like I was his guardian angel dwarf, like God just sent me down and that was my purpose in the world was to save
him. You're Clarence from It's a Wonderful Life.
Exactly.
Maybe his Nickelback song was not over yet. Maybe he had to finish that.
Every time a bell rings.
Yeah. How badly would he have been hurt? Had you done that?
Now, how fast was it going?
Now, the bus had seen him. It was braking, so it was slowing down. Therefore, that's probably the reason why I'm okay. But then it was going to hit him head on. So even head on at 10 miles an hour.
Yeah, especially
gone.
Not expecting it.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's what I'm thinking. And I don't know, maybe in my head I was like, okay, I can maybe dive under the bus. Like, maybe I'll be okay.
You can stand up and it can roll right over
you. Yeah, exactly. I'll be fine.
Right.
Now, you said on Twitter that fateful day when you alerted the world because Brad was, you know, essentially sending out a press release going, hey, look at me.
Yes, absolutely.
You said that this was the third time you've been hit by a vehicle.
Yeah. I've been hit by a
car. Now, at that point,
times.
Isn't it on you?
You know what? Yes. I will fully admit it. I've been hit by a car now three times, and so much so that I actually sell a T-shirt after my shows that say I break for little people, just to kind of spread the
word.
Which
is a complete lie.
Yeah.
So you've been hit three times.
Yeah.
Maybe little man shouldn't be out in the street.
Yeah, I'm now going to avoid that.
Wow.
I mean,
the other two, were they more serious or were they sort of the same?
The other two were both. I went to Sunny Hills High School in Orange County, and at the time they had a 58% Asian population, so mm-hmm. the parking lot was always dangerous.
Right.
Both other times I was just walking in the parking lot and someone just backed up and didn't see me. And
oh,
just,
I see. Okay.
Yeah, and just like clipped me.
Wow.
So, like, I literally had to have an argument with my parents. They wanted to stick like a flag on my backpack. This has happened now twice. We're sticking a flag on your backpack. Like, great, I'm having enough trouble making friends as it is. Let's put an orange flag on my backpack to where even where the kids are with helmets are going to look at me like, that's messed up.
Mom and Dad.
At least I'm not him. I don't have a flag on my backpack. I love how I'm on radio and I still do the arm I was doing that impression. Yeah. That's commitment, people.
It's important. Sure.
Brad Williams is here in studio on the Kevin Bean Show. The last 3 minutes, we apologize to the Asians and to the mentally challenged. But you can see Brad on stage tonight at the Irvine Improv with Adam Carolla. That's a great, great evening in entertainment. 8 o'clock. Fun. Tickets are just $25 through adamcarolla.com and the weekend of July 4th at the Ontario Improv. More with Brad after this on the Kevin
Hero Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show with hero Brad Williams in the studio.
Superhero. Where's my movie? Iron Man, Spider-Man, Mighty Midget. Let's do this thing.
I like it. Brad Williams is on stage tonight with Adam Carolla. They're doing the Ace Man's live podcast at the Irvine Improv. That's at 8 o'clock. A lot of fun. Just $25. By the way, be prepared. I don't know if you've been following the news or not.
What?
But there may be some angry protesters down there. Some women with not very funny signs out in front protesting Adam Carolla. That's what I would be concerned about.
Wait, I'm completely new to this. What happened?
What happened with Adam?
Yeah.
He did an interview that has gotten him a lot of hate.
Ooh.
Where he talked about how there are a lot more funny dudes than there are funny women. And that women in general are not very funny. He admitted that there are some exceptions, and he even mentioned Tina Fey. He mentioned Kathy Griffin.
Absolutely,
I think Sarah Silverman. He mentioned.
Yeah.
But beyond that, he said, you know, basically a lot of times, and he was going on his own experience in television. He says, you know, I've had writing staffs where the chicks we had to hire women for their perspective, but they were never funny. Which I thought you hired the wrong women. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I don't think that means all women aren't funny. But man, is he getting some hate on this?
I'm just the opposite. I think all women are funny.
All right.
Just to be safe.
I love women.
Just to be safe.
Let it be known. Kevin Ryder, pro chick. All right.
Now, you do stand up all over the country, Brad.
Yeah.
All the time. Right. Are there a lot of women going into comedy? Is that maybe part of the problem? It's just a numbers game more than anything else?
I think that's kind of what it is. Because, I mean, I've had some great women that I've seen do comedy, and I've had terrible women do comedy, but at the same time...
Same with guys.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think it is a numbers game, and it's because there's less of them that when comedy club owners are more likely to look at one unfunny girl and say, oh, well, I'm not hiring women. They're not funny.
Right.
Whereas with a guy, they'll be like, that comic is not funny. Whereas if a woman goes
that's
up there...
That's weird.
It's very, and I've experienced kind of the same thing as myself. Like, well, we're not hiring any more little people.
No,
we had one
people
in here last week and he stunk up the joint. So no more.
Out.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely a sensitive issue, but I do think it's a numbers game. I think there are funny women out there. It's just that, and stand-up is really, it's a really tough thing, and not saying like men can do it because we're better, but like constant rejection, constant telling that no, like that's what you'll hear.
Which guys are used to by the time they get
all the time. Like that's why we get into comedy, because we've been told no by girls so many times. We're like, I gotta find a way to get laid. This is terrible. And and women have to go in there and they hear no all the time, so that may be hesitant. But now there's this whole big movement to raise women's self-esteem.
Right.
I don't know if you guys saw this Dove commercial. There's a Dove commercial out right now, Dove Soap. And they say in the commercial that they raised $10 million to help women's self-esteem. And I'm thinking, what did that go to?
Yeah,
how do you
spend that?
It's just cash? That's all we need?
Yeah, like just $10 million. Or like, did they give the money to women? Did they hire a bunch of black guys to walk around the street, see a woman go, you fine. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, what an ass. Like, did that work?
And they get a dollar each for
everything? Yeah, and it's like, and I'm sorry, ladies who are listening, I love you, but there needs to be women with bad self-esteem in the world. That has to happen.
So that guys that aren't attractive can score.
Right. As a guy that's 4 foot nothing, I don't need a girl with goals and like a degree and like my life is awesome. No, I look at the bar for the girl that has pictures of her cats on her phone and is wearing Crocs.
Wow.
I look at that and go, that's my target.
Wow. All right. Lock in.
I'm like the guy from Star Wars. Stay on target. Stay on target. That's me at that point. We can't raise self-esteem. They're like, you got to. And then what's that going to do for men when they walk up to a six that's like, no, I'm waiting for a real man. You're like, you're a six.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on. I'm at least a four. Yeah. You can at least consider me.
Yeah, you're six. I'm a four. Together, we're ten. Come on. Let's do this thing. So, yeah, I really $10 million for self-esteem. You know there's some Indian kid making soccer balls like, oh, good thing you have good self-esteem. I don't need the money. No, not at all. Let me go back to my hut and make you a soccer ball. You know, maybe if you kick around this soccer ball, you'll have good self-esteem. Okay, just do that. You guys just do that.
Here's your $1 for the month.
Yeah,
son.
And there's plenty of much better charities out there. And not saying that whatever they did was worthless. I mean, Kevin, your charity is amazing. I Friends with Helpers, great charity. Wounded Warriors Project, great charity. And then, yeah, and then
I don't know how
women's self-esteem.
I don't know how that $10 million translates into. Women's self-esteem.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that they just use it to buy like three pairs of Jimmy Choo shoes and just be like, here you go.
And some skinny jeans. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Throw it out there. Let's make women happy.
Brad and Adam tonight on stage. No women on the bill tonight, curiously. Irvine Improv at 8 o'clock. Just $25. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. And you're going to be spending your 4th of July week in the hottest spot on earth, Ontario, California.
Ontario,
where it will be 110 degrees out there.
The 4th is a Wednesday. So you're going to do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
5th through the 8th.
Wow. Yeah,
I'm in Ontario, so like, you know, just shout out to the Latinos homes. Like, come out there, and you should support the little people because you're not much taller than me.
OntarioImprov.com. That's only $18.
And do you guys mind if I plug my podcast really quick?
No, not at all. Right. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. the podcast that I do with a very funny comedian named Adam Ray is called About Last Night. It's on iTunes. It's on the ToadHopNetwork.com.
Which episode do you lie about the bus? Which episode is that?
This actual most recent episode we talked about the bus. And we have a character on the show called Interrupting Tony Danza. Which is
it's a good band. That's almost that at the truth.
Exactly. They're great.
Thank you, Brad. And follow Brad at FunnyBrad at Twitter.
Doug Benson joins us in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show as our cavalcade of comedy continues. Felipe Esparza later on today and the hilarious Dr. Drew Pinsky also coming up. Hey, Kevin, here's some good news for you.
Yes, please.
We were talking a couple days ago about how you are, according to the state of California, one of the worst drivers on the road anywhere.
Yeah, F them.
Recap for people who weren't with us a couple of days ago, the long, long list of violations that were cited in the letter that you got from the DMV.
I got a speeding ticket for going 40 in a 25, which, by the way...
You're an outlaw, man!
By the way, is it speeding? Absolutely. But it's 40 and a 25. Take it easy.
It's not 100 on a 35, right?
And then in the middle of California someplace, I was at a soccer tournament, and I got one of those pictures in the mail that I ran a red light. Now, one of the things that I know about myself is that I do not run red lights. I stop at almost all yellows because I think that's the most dangerous situation.
Where
you slow down and then step on it and try to get through because then somebody's going to turn and a lot of accidents happen that way.
Are you shocked to hear him say that?
Well, like I think he tries to be reckless. He does what a lot of people do, which is he drives really fast and thinks he's really good at that.
I really am.
But you strike me as impatient, though. Like, you wouldn't want to have to sit and wait for a light if you can get through it and be on the other side.
I just think that's one of the most dangerous. That's where accidents happen. And you can't tell from the picture. So I was really kind of upset when I got that. Sure, it's me in the car. Yeah, of course. And the hooker next to me. But I'm just saying, I don't think I ran that red light.
Really? Because sometimes, I mean, I've run a couple. It's accidental. I didn't think the light would change that fast. I mean, I think everyone does once in a while.
I don't buy it. But even if I did buy it, what's the email that you got? Because this is interesting.
This is fascinating. We want to hear from you.
That's
right
all
now.
I had, by the way. That was it. That was the total.
Yeah, that was the extent of it. Right, exactly. Total. We want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you can shed some light on whether Michaela is telling us the truth. She wrote in, "Dear party people, listening to the podcast, heard the part about Kevin's awful driving record. Just as an FYI, those traffic tickets where they take the picture, well, the payment is voluntary. They can't fine you
insane?
If you do not sign a ticket. If you do not pay them, they can't do anything about it. If you notice, they have actually started taking down these red light cameras because people are becoming aware that they don't have to pay."
What? All right, let me ask you this, though. You don't have to pay, but it's on my record. If I don't have to pay, should I be able to get it off of my record?
That is a really good question. I don't know.
Well, we want to hear from somebody who does know at 1-800-520-1067. Now, is this red light camera ticket, is that considered a moving violation then?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it is, running the red light. I think it
is.
Does
it give you point? Does it give you a point?
Yes. It gave me a point on my record. That was 1 point. And then the other speeding one was 2 points. And then the DMV wrote me a really rude letter about how I was one of the worst drivers in Los Angeles in California. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I know 25 people that are worse than me, starting with my wife. But let's not bring that up.
All right. Let me ask you this question then. Is it possible that it needs to be settled somehow? The ticket needs to be paid for it to be entered as a completed transaction with the state, and that's what puts the point on your record. If you don't mail in the money, then it's still incomplete.
But if it's,
in other words,
if it's been shown that it can't be proven, so the fine is voluntary. Is the word?
Then how can? Yeah, you're right. How could it be on your record?
How could it be on my record?
See, this is why we need help. Again, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to line two. They got Sylvia for us, and Sylvia sounds like she may know what she's talking about. Sylvia, help out my man Kevin here. Should he not pay this red light ticket, or what's the deal?
Well, if he doesn't want it on his driving record, I wouldn't pay it.
Okay, let me just say this: yep. I didn't pay it, and it is on my driving record.
That's impossible.
It's
and yet it's true.
Okay. I don't know how to come back from that.
I love Sylvia's logic, though.
No, well, why do you say that, Sylvia? What do you know about this?
I know. Let's just say I know plenty to know about traffic tickets.
She knows plenty.
All right, she knows plenty. You can't tell us because it'll get you in trouble at work?
It might.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
But I was told at the time I got it, I was told don't pay that because it doesn't. There's no way they can prove it. It doesn't stick. It won't be on your record. I was told at the time that, so I didn't, but it sure is on my record.
All right, let me throw this out to you and Sylvia, because this is from Rick on Twitter, tweeting us at Kevin and Bean. The voluntary red light ticket payment is only in Los Angeles County. Kevin, did you say your ticket was in another county in California where they may have a different policy?
It was in Moreno Valley or someplace.
Does that sound right, Sylvia, that it depends what county you're in where you got popped, whether you have to pay the ticket or not?
Well, I only know about LA County, so that could be possible.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for the call. You can tell she's legit because she did call it LA County, so we know she's real. Let's go to Mo. Mo's on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He might be able to add to this discussion. Hi, Mo. Welcome.
Hey. Yeah, so I agree with Rick. It is voluntary in L.A., but basically because L.A. is too lazy to chase after you for the money.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they will put it on your record?
Yeah, what about the record? Because that's really almost more important than the cost of the ticket.
L.A., I know, because I've done it, has not gone on my record.
Okay, but maybe it was because I was in Moreno Valley. Where is that? That's out by Bakersfield, I think, or Riverside?
It's Riverside.
Yeah, I think they have a small population, so they might try to come after you for the ticket.
It's the land of the dirt people.
They actually even keep you from registering your car.
Wow, why do they have to hate? Why is Riverside, what do you have going on, Riverside, that you need to hate other people that are coming into town? For God's sakes, all you have is dirt.
This shouldn't be so confusing.
It shouldn't
stay
be confusing.
Stay
out
of Riverside is a good point, but I was taking my kids to a soccer tournament. So
thank you for the call, Mo. All right, I just brought up this article from the Los Angeles Times. Listen to this. More than 180,000 motorists have been issued red light camera tickets since the program began in 2004. There are 32 intersections. Unlike other moving citations, which are issued directly by a police officer to a driver who signs a promise to appear in court, red light camera tickets are mailed to the registered owner of the vehicle allegedly involved. This has limited the Los Angeles County Superior Court system's willingness to aggressively enforce camera ticket collections for the city, meaning that they, like Mo was saying, that they just don't bother coming after you. If you don't pay, they don't come after you for the money, but that doesn't help you with the problem of it being on your record.
It still goes on your record.
That's what I don't like. And by the way, some of these tickets are $476 in Los Angeles County for running a red light.
Wow.
But it's voluntary. It might as well be $1,000.
But if you're one of the ones who paid it, though, and then you hear after the fact, oh, we're just not paying it, it's going away, how bad do you feel that you forked over that money without needing to?
All right, let's talk to Ashley, who tried to fight this ticket. Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
You got a red light ticket. They mailed it to you, and it was
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and you went
I actually did a lot of research trying to find information about it.
And?
I was under the impression that if you didn't recognize the ticket, you didn't extend it, and there was no proof that you received the ticket.
Right.
However, I did more and more research, and they said that the County of Los Angeles ended the contract with the camera company, so they didn't have access to the photos anymore. But the ticket would still be on your record. So if you had to go to court for another case, then they would bring it up then and say, wait a minute, what about this ticket?
Oh, so it still goes on your record.
And
that's
what about
BS?
It is.
So then I made the court date thinking I would get dismissed just for bringing it in.
Of course.
No.
You still had to pay.
$500.
How much?
$500.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And by the way,
it turned red less than 0.3 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I would claim too. But let me ask you this, and that is, if you don't pay it, if you ignore it, is it possible that you have trouble down the road when you go to renew your driver's license, for instance? Is that something they can hold against you?
That I don't know. Apparently, what they'll do if you don't pay it, they will send you collections notice. Like, they'll send you to collections. However, the collections that they send you to, it doesn't go on your driving record, and it doesn't go on your credit report. It's just kind of them trying to bully you into paying it. But once you recognize that you got the ticket, once, say, you have another traffic fine and you go to court for that, then they'll say, hey, whatever happened to this ticket?
You know what's frustrating about it, too, is that in the picture, there's no proof that I ran the red light. There's no proof that my tires weren't, what is it, your front tires have to be
over the line,
over
on the line.
Crosswalk, yeah. By the time you can't tell. They just, I have to take their word for it that I ran the red light, and that's BS.
Well, I guess you could fight the ticket.
They had a whole packet. What does that mean?
Like when they sent me the thing, it was only like a couple kind of blurry photos.
Right,
when
me too.
I went, they were very detailed and very,
oh,
it was clearly me. And
I know it was me.
She's saying there are more pictures that they haven't shown you.
Oh, yeah. There's more photos. And they have like a whole stapled packet together. So, they said that they don't. Mine was in West Hollywood. So, I don't know how the other places work.
Hang on,
but
let me make
Hollywood,
a note. Must move to Mexico.
I think that's a reasonable reaction.
Thank you for that. See the lightning in your eyes. See you running
a bad life. Hey.
Hey.
I don't know that the hey matched the energy of the song, though, on that.
Really?
Hey. It's world famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Hey.
The hilarious Doug Benson joins us next right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
I have tickets to the North American premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yay! They're already talking about $125 million opening weekend, Ralph.
A lot of people said, oh, this Amazing Spider-Man movie is not going to do so well. It won't capture people's imagination because it's the summer of superheroes. And The Avengers was already the biggest motion picture event in history. It's going to take all the luster away from the other superhero movies. Which I said, ha! I said,
I never heard you say that. Technically.
Ha! I said,
all right,
like a Jew at Cantor's. Mm-hmm. I said, ha! Because here was my point. The movie going public has a very short memory.
Agreed.
Yes, The Avengers was everything. It was the end all be all. It was the greatest film ever. The biggest money making story of the summer. Oh my God, Avengers! Hear anybody talking about Avengers now?
No, yeah, there's
people have seen it. They moved on.
It's come and gone.
What's next?
What's next, indeed? And what's next is the amazing mother effing Spider-Man. And I've seen a ton of footage of this. And it is going to be great.
It's a lot of people already calling. The phone lines are jammed, and they don't even know your question.
It may be the best Spider-Man movie ever, much better than the first three. And the Sam Raimi films were well done, excellent films. But this might be the next
except
level.
For emo Spider-Man. That was not good.
That was not very good. When he was dancing, that was not particularly good for anybody. But the other ones, very strong. So I'm very excited about The Amazing Spider-Man. You should be, too. It's happening at the Village Theater in Westwood on Thursday, June the 28th. All the stars are going to be there. The new Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield, Emma Stone, who plays Gwen Stacy, his girlfriend, Dennis Leary, Captain Stacy, her dad. You got Uncle Ben and Aunt May, which is Martin Sheen and Sally Field. Just a great, great cast. And this was a cool idea, and this came from listener Edwin, and I want to thank him for this. He has got a website, and he posted sound clips from the 1960s animated TV show Spider-Man. That's the one the big theme comes from. Spider-Man, right. Spider-Man. It was the big animated. For the longest time, that was the only real version of Spider-Man you could find on television that was worth a damn. So what he's done is he's taken classic quotes, clips, from Spider-Man villains from that classic animated show.
Okay.
I will play a clip of the villain, and if you're a Spider-Man fan, you should be able to figure out what villain is saying that line.
All right.
Here is your audio clue for Name That Spidey Villain.
Spider-Man! Your webs are useless against me, for all the power of electricity is mine.
Sounds like Roland.
All right, what supervillain against Spider-Man from the 1960s cartoon was that clip from? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First person through with the right answer gets a pair of tickets to see
the question
the
mark
Spider-Man.
Or whatever that guy was.
The question. No. Although the guy who was the voice actor who's playing that role does sound a lot to me like now I'm going to blank on his name.
Roland.
Wallace Shawn is his name.
Oh,
he was the guy in
the Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
Inconceivable.
Right.
He was the one in Vegas Vacation with Chevy Chase.
Why don't you just give me all your money? I'll take you in the back and I'll just kick in the balls.
He plays the blackjack dealer.
He's funny.
But this guy is... Play it again. Play the clip again one more time.
Spider-Man! Your webs are useless against me, for all the power of electricity is mine.
Your webs are useless against me, Spider-Man!
Power electricity, though, that's a clue.
You want to go ahead and just take the winner now, Ralph, or do you want to wait?
Oh, we're all right. We can take the winner now. Captain Suspense. All right. Way to build it. Derek!
Electro. Hey.
Electro, absolutely, yes. One of my favorite Spidey villains. Congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you will get to see the adventures of the amazing Spider-Man before anybody else.
Awesome.
Congratulations. Electro.
Three more dudes in a row, by the way.
The city is mine, Spider-Man. Inconceivable that your webs would work against me.
Really sounds like him.
I don't think this means what you think it means.
All dude winners again today, by the way, if you're
stop
keeping track.
It.
That's 3 hours in a row, three dudes in a row.
Just stop it.
I'm saying
just stop it. And just stop it. Well, we're talking about Dennis Leary, who is in The Amazing Spider-Man. He, of course, starred in the very popular FX series Rescue Me. He's coming back to FX. Brand new show. His new show is called Bronx Warrants. It's about a couple of cops who get paid by the number of guys with outstanding warrants they bring in. Based on a pair of real-life cops, guys named David Jogler and Richard Wetzel, who each got a bonus for each person they managed to apprehend who had outstanding warrants for them
kidding.
In the Bronx. So they've made a series about these guys, and Dennis Leary will be starring in that on FX. So looking forward to that. While we're talking about television, tonight, MTV, it premieres Snooki and JWoww.
Yeah.
Snooki and JWoww!
No!
Come on, Snooki and JWoww.
Paul LaQuisha.
Snooki and JWoww. And more television news. It looks like Poppy Montgomery, in her series Unforgettable, could be coming back to television. Life
People
After Death.
It?
It was canceled.
Oh, come on. Oh.
It was canceled. And now it may be revived. CBS is in talks to bring back the show for 13 episodes next summer. It was canceled in May. Because CBS executives want to roll out four new dramas, but ratings for the show were so good, around 12 million viewers per episode, that CBS has apparently changed its mind. So Unforgettable gets a second lease on life.
This is how well CBS is doing, by the way, is they can afford to think about canceling shows that are getting 12 million people watching.
They can cancel the show and then bring it back. They can do whatever they want. Hmm.
NBC would renew that show for 40 years if they could get 12 million people.
That's true. Signed to a 40-year contract.
The power of electricity is mine!
Today's celebrity birthdays: Doug Savant from Desperate Housewives and Melrose Place is 48. Jim Brewer turns 45. Juliette Lewis, 39 years old today. Mike Enziger from Incubus fame is 36. Erica Durance, who played Lois Lane on Smallville.
Yeah.
She's 34 years old. Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation is 33. Brandon Flowers of The Killers turns 31. Lana Del Rey celebrates her 26th birthday, obviously.
Obviously.
And Rebecca Black turns 15.
It's Friday.
Sorry, I just had to put that in everybody's mind.
Oh, we all appreciate
You're all welcome.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
My name is Doug Benson, and I'm here to recruit you to smoke weed or not give other people smoke weed. They have a saying in Seattle, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and then shoot yourself in the face. I've been working on a new orgasm noise. Oh! Nice, right?
I'm really into astrology. Like, what sign are you, sir?
Aries. The sign of the goat. What sign are you, dude? Virgo. The goat. And what about you, ma'am? Pisces. Goat. That's the whole bit. Can you believe I wrote that down? Stoney McGee, you folks know him as Mr. Doug Benson.
Yeah! Smug Life is the name of the new album from Doug Benson. It is a double album available on Comedy Central Records July 3rd. Please welcome Mr. Benson back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doug.
Hey. It smells like there was a little person in here.
Yeah. We didn't get the cleaning crew in between you and Brad Williams. I apologize.
That's all right.
What is that smell exactly?
It's just magical, whatever it is.
It's elf-like is what it is. And then poor Doug, the first 5 minutes he's in the studio, he's just trying to adjust the chair and the microphone so it works for a regular-sized person.
Yeah, was that what I was just doing?
No, not Doug. Yeah, well, because, you know, when Brad comes in, everything's all haywire.
Exactly. I knew so I was busy doing something since best. I walked in here, but I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
Did he stick around? He wanted to see you. Did he stick around?
Yeah, and say hi? He said hello. That's that and also listening to him in the car on the way over. He is like 10 comedians. For his size,
Agreed.
He is such a powerhouse.
Agreed.
Like you can bring up any subject and he's already got kind of a bit worked out about it, you know.
Doug, you weren't on Foolishness this year, were you?
No, I was not this year. I was previous year.
Because we try to, you know, mix it up with the
last
year.
Sure.
But Brad was on this year.
Oh, I was there though.
Oh, you saw him. It was unbelievable, right?
Yeah, I did see it. And apparently he does that at the end. He gives a lady in the audience a lap dance at every one of his headlining shows.
I would too.
And that is a superb closer.
It is.
That is amazing.
If he's opening for somebody, I think I would just turn and walk back off.
I don't think I would.
And if Lisa, do you have nightmares about it, or does it still turn you on thinking about it?
Best.
It's okay if you say so, because I think that would be the best, worst room to be a female celebrity in
sure.
is if Brad Williams is doing his act, because that's the person he's going to want to do that
sure.
to.
Yeah, his crotch did get a little close. I'm not going to lie. I was a little alarming.
Did that smell magical?
Oh. He had kind of worked up a froth.
That's a great question.
Oh, my God.
Doug, let's talk about you, the comedian, now, because you came up with a brilliant idea. I remember when we had you on talking about this gig that you were doing on April 20th. Of course, you do your annual 420 show. But you recorded this one, and that's the Smug Life album. But tell people what you did that's never been done before in the history of comedy.
I assume it's never been done. It could have been done surreptitiously. But I intentionally did the same show twice. So the album, when you say it's a double album, it's kind of a cheat because it's hopefully it's the same material. But I did two shows in one night. Where the first show, I was completely sober and hadn't smoked pot all day.
Oh, I see.
And then between shows, I got high. And then the second show is when I tried to perform the same material again.
Tried to, being the operative verb.
Yeah, for a different audience. And the two CDs are called Cooked and Uncooked.
Okay.
That's fascinating.
And you listen back. When you listen back, what do you think? Do you think, like, the second one's funnier or the first one's funnier?
You know, I had to listen to both of them to, you know, because I essentially sort of, you know, I'm a co-producer of it or whatever, so I get to listen to it and decide if, you know, anything needs to be taken out or something. And, you know, listening to them both, I just, I screw up when I'm not high. I get things perfect when I'm high. It's all, it's just my, you know, it's just my life, you know, and it's just, it's so funny. Like the other day, somebody got a picture of me sitting on a plane and I'm holding a pen in my hand and the lid is on the top, mm-hmm. like you do with the lid on a ballpoint pen. You of stick course. It on the top end and then you sit there and write with it.
Right.
But this guy's like, you don't even have the pen the right way. You know, like he made it like I was because I'm high all
always
the time.
High, right?
I think that I try to write with the wrong end of a pen.
Right.
And then he puts that on Twitter. And then when I, you know, complain about it, then suddenly, you know, then it becomes this, you know, whole Twitter war about, you know, why can't you admit that you just do dumb things when you're high? And it's like, that's not, first of all, I'm not only going to be so high when I'm on a plane. Like the longest period of time in the last 3 or 4 years that I went without smoking was about 8 hours, and that's because it was a flight to Amsterdam.
Right. And sure. You knew the payoff when you got there.
Yeah. That's why good. I was doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like that was the sacrifice. I'm not going to go on one of those long flights to, you know, someplace where they don't have coffee shops with legalized weed. But now they're going to do this thing where in Amsterdam where tourists can't partake.
I heard that.
Which is ridiculous.
That's BS. So why go there?
Yeah, so there's this big war in Amsterdam. Like, well, isn't tourism our thing? Like, isn't that how we're making a lot of our money? You know, oh,
look, a certain
insane.
Number of people are going for the Anne Frank house, but the rest aren't. That's you better have something for them, too.
Yeah, and there's even a little crossover there. I've never done it, but some people I know have
we
gone,
went there one
gotten
night.
High and went to the Anne Frank house.
We went there one night to one of those bars, and we ordered a lot of stuff. We had no idea what it was. And we sat down. You know, they got some couches in the back room or whatever. And we sat down. It was about 5:45 at night. And then I turned around, and I said, hey, it's midnight. And in between then, I have no idea what happened.
Like
I think we were passing them
like
around.
That.
Just like it was 1 second later. I was like, what happened to the last 6 hours?
That's so weird.
I don't have any idea what even went on. But they're not going to do that anymore for tourists?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's the idea is because that's, you know, it's creating a bad element. That won't occur with, you know, within the locals. They can just sit and get high in the coffee shops. But I think it's just going to cause more problems than it solves. And was that really that big of a problem? It seems like a pretty idyllic place to live.
I think you need to run for the king of the Netherlands and change that law is what I think.
Do they have a king?
I don't think they do, and I don't think you run for it. But I'm just saying, Doug, you're the guy that needs to get in there and make things right.
Okay.
Country.
If somebody's going to run that place, it should be Doug Benson.
It just dawned on me that, you know, proof that Adam Carolla is wrong is Diary of Anne Frank. She was very funny.
Wow.
It's a very fun read.
Really? Wow, that's helping, Doug. Thank you.
On that note, we're going to take a break and be right back.
If you're a big Green Day fan, you should be at krock.com all the time, reading all the details about how they're not doing their free show in Burbank today and all the details on the upcoming 3 new Green Day albums that start coming out in September. Doug Benson is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now on Twitter at Doug Benson, website DougLovesMovies.com. And Doug, you're going to be doing a movie podcast at the Nerdist Theater at Meltdown Comics. That's going to be Monday at 8. What's the deal? Just buy tickets, come on down, be part of the audience? $10?
Yeah, it's $10. I normally do it every Tuesday for free at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, but I have a few weeks off from, I'm going to be out on the road doing stuff, so I'm just banging one out Monday night. And
what movie are you going to be talking about?
Whatever, you know, the whole premise of the podcast is that everybody just kind of talks about anything they want to say about movies, and then we play a very complex and difficult movie trivia games.
I've heard that, and it's neither, right?
That frustrate. Yeah, it's not that complicated, but it's complicated enough that when you haven't played yet, it can be confusing. So I bring on, you know, very great comedians and awesome actors, and then I embarrass them by, you know, playing a game they don't understand.
Sweet. That's not going to last very long. That's good.
I'm going to give you something that will depress you unless you've already heard this news. We talked about it on our show earlier this week. Ralph brought in the story of the highest paid actresses in Hollywood.
I did.
Angelina Jolie, Charlize Theron. Yeah. So you know that number one was Kristen Stewart. And what was she making? Like over $30 million this year.
Like 35
Kristen
or something.
Kristen Stewart.
34 mil to be the most passive female heroine. I mean, I guess she's making up for it in Snow White and the Huntsman.
I don't know that she's doing heroin, but I'm saying she doesn't
It's Snow White and the Huntsman. She's, I guess she's getting her, you know, she fights and stuff. Like, she's not...
Oh, she
like,
moves in
like
that one?
Like, in the Twilight movies, I just don't get why she's a character anybody admires or is interested in.
Let alone the two stars fall in love.
A wolf and a vampire.
And fight over.
Are both in love with
Please.
Her.
Please.
And the wolves are so much bigger than the vampires. How could the vampires possibly win in those
They
fights?
Got that super quickness, man.
But you know what's weird, Doug? And and I don't pretend to understand how anything about Hollywood works, but... There was somebody who made that decision that she was the right actress, and God damn it, they were right because.
But how?
It's a juggernaut.
I'll tell you where it started. She was the female child lead in Jon Favreau's Zathura.
Really?
Yeah, and she.
They went. You know, let's keep an eye on her. She has no emotion.
I knew to keep an
Maybe
eye on
there
her.
Will be
well, she played
other...
like the bitchy older sister that didn't understand that their house was hurtling through space or whatever. But she's at the time. I was like, okay, this one's gonna make it because I thought she was, you know,
you
not
really?
Only good but also an attractive girl.
Right.
She somehow has become less attractive with the through all the Twilight movies.
Right, and
like
her
she's a little like
doesn't help.
Yeah, she just seems like she wants to. She's going to play a lot of roles where she has mud in her hair and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like she's kind of going through a Christina Aguilera dirty phase right now.
See, this is why Doug Loves Movies is a great podcast because you do manage to articulate all the things we're thinking and don't know it. Because yeah, it's just it's to us it's inexplicable that she can get cast in any movie, much less these huge movies that she's in all the time.
And you won't believe when you ever see, I know Kevin probably never will, but when you see Rock of Ages, you are going to be blown away by that a bunch of talented people stood around making that movie.
Really?
Really? Is it that bad?
Tom Cruise, every scene he's in, the more interesting thing in the scene is a monkey.
Oh,
really?
He has
a monkey sidekick in the movie that you don't see in any
awesome.
Of the previews, I don't think.
I love monkeys.
He has a monkey sidekick that it's like a gibbon or some crazy, you know, it's not the typical movie monkey.
Right.
It's a special movie monkey.
It's a special movie
but
monkey.
But he does stuff like bring him beers and stuff.
All right, let me just ask one qualifying question. How high were you when you watched this movie? And are you sure there's a monkey in it?
Yeah, it might have been. That's my rating system is if a movie has 1 to 5 monkeys.
Right.
If it has 5 monkeys, I probably wasn't paying any attention to what was happening on the screen.
But
and this was definitely a one monkey movie.
Yeah.
Is the deal, I mean, I think Tom Cruise is a great actor in the right role. What do you think, Doug?
I think he is, yeah. Because that's what's so amazing about his performance in Rock of Ages is he completely commits and worked hard, learned to play guitar, took singing lessons. Had to obviously hit the gym every day because he's got his shirt off most of the movie.
Right.
And then also is not interesting. It's not it's not an entertaining performance.
Somehow it's the same Tom Cruise it's always been?
Or it was like just like it was kind of like his part in Magnolia where he said interesting and funny things. In this movie, he's got a monkey next to him every scene.
But the monkey steals every scene?
He steals it just by virtue of being a monkey and being there for no good reason. His name's Hey Man, so the first joke in the with the monkey and Tom Cruise is somebody says, Hey Man, and then he goes, no, that's his name. Hey Man.
Wow.
Yeah, and then in the end credits, he's billed right up there with Alec Baldwin.
Wow. Hey, spoiler alert, by the way. I'd given away all the jokes. Is the movie at least fun for people who are the right age to love 80s metal music?
I guess it could be, yes. But I actually saw the Broadway show and the the L.A. version that starred, this will blow your minds if I haven't told you this already, because I tell everybody when the subject comes up, Chris Hardwick originated the Tom Cruise role in the musical Rock
no
of Ages here in workshop performances of it in Los Angeles.
I saw a clip of that on Attack of the Show.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
played him being the lead, and he had the hair, and he was singing.
Yeah, and it's hilarious when Chris did it. Yeah, he was good, good
was
singing,
good.
But it was also mocking.
Yes, of course.
Whereas Tom Cruise is committing,
yeah.
and it is not fun.
Yeah,
it is not fun at all.
Hmm.
Doug Benson is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got to take a break. Listen, you need to go see him do the movie show Monday night at 8 at the Nerdist Theater at Meltdown Comics, which is at 7522 Sunset Boulevard. Details and tickets, just $10 at DougLovesMovies.com. And the new album is called Smug Life, available everywhere July 3rd. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Programming note, this hour tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, well worth coming back for. President Dana White from the UFC is going to be on with us. And the return of Billy Corgan to K-Rock. Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins is going to be in studio with us tomorrow at this time.
Not that today was any, you know, we didn't really wait out today. I mean, Doug Benson is an A-plus guest.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I'm not taking anything away from Doug. I'm just saying tomorrow, another great show. That's
right.
What I'm saying. Speaking of Doug Benson, I'm so glad you're here, Doug, because every week we have Dr. Drew on, his weekly visit, and he's always talking down on pot. He's always trying to tell us, oh, don't smoke the weed. Oh, it's bad for you. I'd like to point out, Dr. Drew, that Doug Benson is an internationally famous comedian who's living a great life being stoned 24/7. Now what you got?
How many times have I come in and actually said something like that?
Yeah,
zero.
I don't think I've heard him say that.
That's right. I salute him. I salute Doug.
But
I'm not into bumming anybody's high.
But,
I'm into helping people that would like to stop and can't.
But
that is not Doug.
We do like to mischaracterize what you say.
Thank though. You. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Was that Kevin or Bean?
That was
said
me.
That?
That was
wow.
Kevin. That was Kevin.
Shocking.
That was Kevin. No, we absolutely do like to twist everything you say and turn it against you. That's why it's amazing that you continue to come on, Dr. Drew. But we're glad you're here today because this is something that is not only up your alley because it involves medicine, but it's up Doug's alley as a celebrity. What's going on with the dehydration and exhaustion syndrome in Hollywood, most recently characterized by Lindsay Lohan's excuse for why she was found basically in a hotel room and they were unable to wake her? What's this phenomena all about, Doc?
Well, I think, first of all, in order to render that diagnosis, you need classical training in publicity. there's no other training that gives you that diagnostic capability
well,
except
being
a PR agent.
It's been used so many times, and every time we think the same thing, which is take a nap and have a drink.
I mean, listen, first of all, poor Lindsay is known for literally being somebody that, you know, stays out all night and dehydrates herself and seems to be quite fine. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And by the way, most people in their late 20s, if they're playing pro football or professional basketball, they still don't get dehydrated or
yeah.
exhausted. You know what I'm saying? I mean, young people can withstand unbelievable stresses, and they're not going to the hospital. If they're 95, you can go to the hospital for dehydration. 20-year-old, it just doesn't ever happen.
No, I'm not making this claim about Lindsay, but drinking is one of the things that makes you dehydrated.
True.
I mean, you need extra water when you drink.
Yes, but you're not going to be so dehydrated that you're unaroused. If you're unaroused, it's because you drank too much,
right,
not because
well.
You're dehydrated. And so whenever you hear a young person being hospitalized for mysterious sorts of circumstances, it's just always drugs and alcohol. It just is. That's just what it is. It's not dehydration. It's not exhaustion.
Or if it was sickness, they would say sickness.
Yeah.
They would say mono. They would say
right.
the flu, whatever.
That's exactly right.
And she's playing Elizabeth Taylor, who I bet was hospitalized for exhaustion at some point.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
Repeatedly for dehydration, exhaustion.
Yeah. So she's just a method actress. That's what's going on there. She's just really
she's
giving
her all into this
yes.
role.
Yeah, yeah.
But what makes me so angry, though, is that how dumb they think the public is.
That's my question. They keep saying it, and every single time I go, it can't be dehydration.
It just isn't. It's not. If you hear a 30-year-old died of pneumonia, think, you know, something drug and alcohol, or we used to think AIDS. Or if you hear somebody under 70 has got dehydration and exhaustion, think drugs and alcohol. It's just this is what it is. Because, you know, it's not as though you're unarousable. I mean, to be unarousable, that is a profound medical problem.
Bean's been
yeah.
unarousable for about 15 years, but now he's...
We're not talking the sexy time.
Oh.
But, Doctor, I'm so glad you brought that point up, because this is what I was thinking. Look, lots of people are hungover. Lots of people drink too much and then don't get enough sleep, and they don't want to get up the next day. But they can wake up. It had to have been terrifying for the people that came in to see Lindsay Lohan to see her laying there in the bed and not be able to bring her back. I mean, that is a whole new level of being unaroused, right?
I mean, yes, there's basically another name for unarousable, coma.
Coma.
You know, or some sort of severe altered sensorium, you know, due to either a profound medical problem or some altering substance, something that's taken sufficient quantity to make you completely unable to be responsive to the environment, that's something.
Now,
that's
now,
bad.
Again, we don't know anything specifically about this case, but we do hear
about it. But whenever anybody sees unarousable, oh, it's just a little dehydrated. It's like, no, you're unarousable, boy. The next thing that happens after that, you're not responsive to your respiratory demands. You
right.
breathe. And so, you know, this is something that you does need hospital. The fact that she wasn't hospitalized is actually a little disturbing. But come on now. Come on. Poor, I mean, I feel bad for her. This is ridiculous. But who's covering for her and saying that stuff as opposed to just saying, you know, she's got a problem, she's getting taken care of. Fine. Next.
Right. Yeah, I don't think people would say that much about it, although Lindsay's had so much bad press in her life, probably.
She's probably afraid of losing a movie job at this point.
I believe her mom tweeted that she was home and sleeping and fine.
Well, that may be true. She may be home and sleeping and okay.
Right, but that's who's covering it up. That's one of them.
She's in her nightly coma. Everything's cool.
Dr. Drew does Love Line 5 nights a week here on K-Rock with Mike Catherwood. And by the way, when's the new rehab show hitting VH1? I know you've been working hard on it, Drew. When does it air?
It's going to probably be around September. I mean, it's a very interesting group. We're still treating them regularly. And it's an intense show.
I don't care about them if they're not celebrities, Doctor.
Well, you will. I mean, everything that can happen in a treatment, you know, course, including seizures and violence and unarousability.
Wow.
And, you know, and vom. Yeah, you name it, it happens.
That's your daily life.
Yeah. When I'm doing my daily life, I try to take regular breaks because it does get, you know, overwhelming if you do it day in and day out. But when we do these programs, we all just do it straight through, and it's very intense.
Thanks for time, Doctor. Say goodbye to Doug Benson.
Bye, Doug. Take care.
Bye, Doctor.
Spark one up for me.
I will spark one up for him for
That's
sure.
Awesome. That's and we got to do it.
We got to say goodbye to Doug also. But a quick reminder again, you can be in the audience at the Nerdist Theater at Meltdown Comics on Monday night. Tickets just $10 at Doug Loves Movies. And, of course, Smug Life is the new comedy album, which I think sounds hilarious, what I've heard from it. And that is available everywhere on July the 3rd. Follow Doug on Twitter at Doug Benson. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Cavalcade of Comedy Stars continues on the Kevin Bean Show. Our friend Felipe Esparza joins us coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. I was thinking about all these amazing Spider-Man world premiere tickets that you're giving away, Ralph.
Yeah.
You have all these because you have swag, right? That's why. That's why you get to give away the tickets, because you got swag.
I'm the best.
You are the best.
That's true. The best.
All right.
Da-na-na, da-na-na. I'm the best. I'm the best. You know how many tickets I have? A gillion.
I don't think you do.
Yeah.
I think you are hooking people up.
I am.
One pair.
We were talking about the 1960s Spider-Man cartoon, which gave us the famous Spider-Man theme song.
High quality.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
Oh, I thought you would catch you keep singing.
Hector Barrera writes, our listener, that show is my 4-year-old daughter's favorite show on Netflix. The 60s Spider-Man cartoon. Yeah, apparently it's a big hit on Netflix, so you can check it out. One of the games we've been playing for these tickets is I've been playing you clips from the 60s Spider-Man cartoon series. It's one of Spider-Man's famous villains.
Okay.
I play a line of dialogue from the animated show, and you have to identify which one of Spider-Man's villains it is. Last hour, it was Electro. Here is this hour's Spider-Man villain piece.
Today, I rule the swamps. Tomorrow... the world.
Yeah.
Today on the swamps.
Tomorrow, the world.
I missed my call. I should have been a voiceover artist in the 60s, man. Should've. I had good times. I want to thank listener Edwin, by the way, Eddie Miller, who put this together for me. I appreciate it. Call now, 1-800-520-1067 if you know the answer to who that was. And we'll give you a pair of passes to the North American red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
The first gillion? Is that correct?
No, or? The first. Just the first
Only
one.
Only the first one.
Well, here's good news for those of us who like to curse. The Supreme Court shot down the FCC fines for fleeting expletives and nudity on television.
Fantastic.
Here's what happened. The FCC tried to levy fines against Fox and ABC for two different things. I think for a Fox, it was an award show where somebody dropped an F-bomb fleetingly, and they said they had to fine all the Fox affiliates and all Fox for that.
Was it Bono? Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was Bono.
Yeah.
The ABC one, I believe, was NYPD Blue, where actress Charlotte Ross, her butt was seen on television. They wanted to slam ABC for that. So the court said, no, you can't do that. And the FCC appealed it, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And today it's been decided the Supreme Court, in a narrow ruling, said that they don't have to pay those fines.
Because
now, here's
it was
the problem.
Fleeting? Is that why?
No, they didn't rule on the constitutionality of free speech regarding the media. What it was basically a. It was a procedural issue. They said that the FCC didn't give Fox and ABC adequate notice of what the rules were because their standards are so vague. In
oh,
essence.
Really? Their standards
that
are vague.
Amen. The best ever.
We've been arguing this point for our entire lives.
So sadly, the constitutionality of using free speech in the media has not been addressed. In fact, the court said it does not address the First Amendment implications of the commission's indecency policy or reconsider Pacifica at this time. Pacifica is the famous seven words you can't say on radio ruling.
F word, F word, MF word, S word, G word, D word, GD word.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Did you see the Miami Heat game? The last game with the Miami Heat?
I didn't.
In the Oklahoma City Thunder?
No.
LeBron James went out at the end of the game because he had really bad cramps in his thighs, and the camera was close up on him, and he said the S word. Oh, S. And then there was a 2-second dropout of silence, like the censor missed it by about.
Maybe I just drop out anything, and it'll make up for it.
It was super clear. I went back to listen to it. It was super clear. They just missed it.
Well.
But that's the kind of thing. It's a fleeting thing. It's not on purpose. Nobody's trying to put that word out there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court did not rule on the language use itself, just on how the FCC conducted itself regarding trying to get those rules to Fox and ABC. So the good news is they don't have to pay the fines.
Yeah.
But they haven't addressed really the core of the issue, which is the First Amendment use of language in media.
Right.
So.
But the Supreme Court did add that they're not giving Drew Doughty a hockey talk show that's live anytime soon. They didn't mention that.
They're not. And stop assaulting women sexually, too, they also added.
Which didn't. That has been dropped.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Easy, Kevin. It's all right. I didn't mean to pick on your boyfriend. Kevin was about to come over the console.
Okay.
By the way, it's dropped, man.
I wasn't sure if we were going to throw down or not.
Free Kobe. Golden Colorado, too. Such a homer. Such a freaking homer. By the way, NHL schedule's out, Kevin.
Yep.
January 3rd, 2013.
Yep.
It's on.
Philly?
Philly Kings, yeah. Where they play
Staples?
There? Sports
Staples
Arena?
Center.
Where do they do down there?
Staples Center?
Forum.
Yeah.
Hollywood Staples Park. Center. I think they're playing at Hollywood Park next year, Ralph.
Yeah, so.
Maybe they're moving it because of the Flyers.
You and
Staples
me.
Center.
Throw down.
All right.
And where's the FCC when you need them, man? Why don't they step in and tell Kanye West he can't make an album made entirely of animal noises?
What?
Kanye West has announced his plans to make an album comprised entirely of animal noises. The rapper, according to the story, has become obsessed with roars, barks, and jungle noises, and believes that making an album comprised of nothing but them is an ingenious plan.
I'm with him.
I don't buy it.
I'm with him on it.
I don't buy it, and I'll tell you why. I think he's too in love with his own rapping to not rap on his album. Maybe he'll use it as background, but there's no way he's going to feature something without himself.
According to The Sun, Kanye's been telling his friends his next ingenious plan. He's become so obsessed with the noises that he's experimenting and plans on putting them on record.
All right.
I'm all for it. You know where he got the inspiration was hanging out with the Kardashians. He was watching Khloe one day. And he said, those animal noises could make an album. Going to answer my trivia question? I believe Andrew on line 3 may know.
A dude is calling?
Stop it. Andrew, who said that clip we played from the 60s Spider-Man cartoon show?
The Lizard.
Huh?
The lizard?
My God.
The hell?
That's right.
What's going on with you? You got a phone up your ass? What's happening?
Can we play that Lizard clip one more time for people?
Yeah. Today, I rule the swamps. Tomorrow, the world.
The world. Congratulations, Andrew. You're going to see the amazing Spider-Man at the red carpet premiere.
Sweet.
Yeah, sweet. All right, hold on. We'll give you all the details. The lizard.
He's saving it for the night. He's saving it for seeing Spider-Man.
Saving it his whole life.
Unbelievably high right now.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Doug Savant from Desperate Housewives of Melrose Place. We've had Doug in the show. What a nice guy he is.
Yes, 40, so much.
48 years old today. He's married to somebody famous too, isn't he?
Laura.
Oh, right. That delicious redhead I love so much. And I can't think of her name. Not Prepon, no.
Laura.
Crap.
I don't know.
Maybe that was Laura, her character.
No, she was on Melrose Place.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that girl.
Can't think of her name.
The redhead from Melrose Place. Who was with Dr. Michael Mancini.
Mm-hmm. Email Ralph at
krock.com. No, do not.
Ralph at krock.com.
We'll find out. Someone in the other room will find out by the time I'm done showbiz birthdays.
or heads will roll. Jim Brewer is 45 years old today. Juliette Lewis turns 39. Mike Enzinger of Incubus is 36 years old. Erica Durance, who played Lois Lane on Smallville, she's 34 years old today. Chris Pratt, very funny man from Parks and Recreation, is 33. Brandon Flowers of The Killers is 31 years old today. Prince William, Duke of Cambridge, celebrates his 30th birthday. I'm not getting off the air until we find out the answer to my trivia question.
But he's over here typing Melrose.
I know.
O-A-Z-E. He spelled it.
Laura Layton, that's her name. That's Laura Layton.
He spelled it M-E-L-R-O-A-Z-E. I know. Listen.
I got to reach across the console to type out.
Yeah. Does that mean you can't spell because you have to reach your arms out?
Yes.
You only spell when your arms are like a T-Rex close to your body?
O-A-Z-E.
God, I hate you. Laura, Dana... Lana Del Rey is 26 years old today, obviously. And Rebecca Black.
Obviously.
Rebecca Black turns 15 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage right now, Felipe Esparza. Give him a nice hand.
What's up, shorty? I'm getting older, though, man. I used to go to Mexico to tear it up, get loaded, party. Now I go there for the medicine. Yay, yay. Oh, man, they say that Mexicans are hard workers. I'm not one of them. I call in sick to an interview. I'm lying. My mom called for me. I could never have a threesome. This is not a threesome body. This is a turn off the lights body. Leave your shirt on body. This is a tell nobody.
Felipe Esparza. Felipe. Esparza joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show, performing this weekend at the John Lovitz Comedy Club, including tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday. Tickets just $20 at thelovitz.com. Felipe, how have you been, my friend?
Good, man. If you guys heard the intro, don't turn your station. You're not listening to it, Kukui. It's K-Rock.
Yes. Very confusing to people right now.
They're going, what the hell is going on?
We have to be a lot cleaner than El Kukui.
Oh, yeah.
We do.
They get away with a lot of Spanish bad words.
They do. Pendejos.
You know? Puto.
All right, let's not take this any further, guys. Felipe, you told me as you sat down, you have been... The comedy thing, by the way, is working for you. I know that was the hope you had when you won Last Comic Standing, but now it's turned into an actual career where you're probably not ever thinking about a backup job, right?
No backup job. No, we're going to Dodger Stadium making hot dogs.
That was your backup
job? That was my backup job.
Because you get to watch all the games and the whole deal.
Get to watch all the games from the eighth inning and on.
Right, when they stop serving. So when you, like you were, you said you were just in Denver last week. Denver doesn't strike me as a place with a large Latino population.
They all drove from Pueblo, Colorado.
Wow, it's quite a drive. It's good to have them there. Have you run into super white audiences or super anything but Mexican audiences that don't really...
Yes, in Peoria, Illinois.
Okay. How'd that go?
They were all white.
Uh-huh.
But see, there were trailer trash white. So see, trailer trash and illegal immigrants are pretty much the same. I mean, that's what every immigrant wants when they come to this country. They want what everybody... Who's not educated one. They want to marry a trailer trash white chick from Fontana.
Sure. That's their goal.
Come on, man. What came first, the enchilada or the enchilada casserole?
So there was common ground, even in Peoria, Illinois. You were able to make it work. What did you think, and was there? Have you talked much about what the president said when he came out last week and said that he was no longer going to be actively trying to send people out of this country if they fit certain criteria, even if they arrived illegally?
Man, my dad unpacked his bags, first of all.
For the first time in
how
many years?
For the first time, man. He was...
You gotta have that suitcase in the hall. You never know. Sometime in the last 15 years, there may be a knock on the door. You got to go, right?
I think if Obama would have said, anybody that was here last week is American citizen. Citizen, but we're going to turn in the people who weren't here last week. We'll go for that too, man. I'll turn in my dad, my uncle. Yeah,
really?
I'll turn them all in. I'll turn them all in.
Wow.
Man.
You get some kind of a reward?
Yeah, citizenship. Asylum.
Asylum.
You know, coming from a large Mexican family, I imagine you have quite the entourage now. You probably have a lot of people who are counting on you to take care of them, I think.
Man, there's like 8 people in my family, and we don't get along, man. Like, West Coast, East Coast.
Is that right? You don't get along. Wow, but I would think I would get along with the guy who's making money.
Well, yeah, man.
No matter what.
Man, it's different, man. When you're like in a Latino home, you're like the only one making money. It's like the only guy that has the truck. They always want to borrow it and use it to move stuff.
Right.
So that's not
the benefit.
That's not good for you.
are you still living in the old neighborhood, Felipe?
Yeah, I live in Echo Park. Echo Park, gated community. Mm-hmm. Windows are gated. The back door's gated.
that, right?
A new restaurant just parked in front of my house.
Congratulations.
I live in a part of Echo Park that if you yell out Echo Park, you get jumped by the gang that's not Echo Park.
That's barely Echo Park then, right?
Yeah.
Right on the edge. Felipe Esparza is here because he is doing the John Levitz Comedy Club tonight, tomorrow night, two shows tomorrow night, and one show on Saturday night.
Yeah.
You're a busy man.
Yeah, I love doing stand-up comedy.
Two shows at a night, do you try to not repeat stuff, or is that just too difficult?
I try not to, like, your last guest was here, Doug. I can't do that. I get too paranoid about the second show. Did I say that already? Mm-hmm. Then I did repeat one whole joke one time. The whole audience just let me do it.
Well, that was nice.
Like,
but
no one yelled out. You already repeated that.
But then again, maybe they're not the same people. Maybe they didn't just stay over.
No, the same show.
It was the same show.
Wait,
you did the same joke twice in the same show?
Yeah.
Sweet. That's got to be a nightmare.
Well, funny, like the audience went with me. Then at the end, when I was getting no laugh, I looked at the audience. Are you going to let me repeat the same joke?
Unbelievable.
I've never seen that happen before.
I've never seen that happen either.
They're embarrassing, man.
That's funny. You can get your tickets to see Felipe this weekend. They're just $20 at thelovitz.com. Felipe was one of the great acts on this year's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, and he killed. I mean, it was great. So you will have a good time. We'll take a quick break. More with the guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Still one of the songs we get asked what the name of that is. More often than most, still.
Isn't it funny?
It's 20, 30 years old, anything, anything, and he says anything, anything about 200 times, and Nobody thinks to check if it's anything, anything, which it is.
That's a Dramarama here on the world-famous K-Rock. Our friend Felipe Esparza, the What Up Fool guy,
is in studio with
us right now. That's right, man. Comedy Club, the John Lovitz Comedy Club is where you're going to be tonight at 8 o'clock, then Friday night for two shows, and then Saturday at 8, tickets available for just $20 at thelovitz.com. We're having a fascinating conversation with Felipe during that song. And I'm not trying to stereotype. I know that there are a lot, you know, millions of different people. Just because they all happen to be Mexican doesn't mean they share all similarities. But I've never in my life met a Mexican vegan. That seems like the opposite of a thing that should exist in this world, Felipe. What's going on?
How's that possible? You've been a vegan?
Yeah, it's like an oxymoron, huh?
For how long?
Since last July.
It's almost a year.
Yeah.
Why? Don't you know how good cheese is? How do you have Mexican food without cheese?
I know.
Or nacho cheese.
Yeah.
Mexican food doesn't seem like it supports veganism.
No, it doesn't.
You know what I mean? Like,
what do you put in your tacos?
Salsa.
Just salsa.
Tapatio.
What's going on?
You're really a vegan, or that's a setup for a joke?
No, I really am. I'm a vegan now.
Since
July. I know people look at me, you're so fat. What do you eat, crops?
Answer yes.
It's tough, you know, to be vegan. You know, Mexicans, you know, we cook with lard. My mom puts lard on everything.
Right. Right.
Bacon, eggs, ham, chorizo. I had a heart attack when I was 12.
What caused this radical transformation in your life?
I don't know, man. I was like having like these problems going to the restroom.
Okay,
and then I started like, because he like. Like, when I was a kid, my mom was she used to breastfeed me.
Right.
And she didn't give me regular milk. She gave me, like, Similac, but the soy Similac.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And my brothers drank soy Similac. Mm-hmm. Then I started thinking about it. If we're drinking soy Similac as babies, why the hell am I mom giving us milk and cheese and killing us as adults?
Really?
So I could never, I wasn't supposed to drink milk my whole life.
So you made the decision last July.
Yeah.
That because you had soy milk when you were a baby, you were going to be a vegan.
Yeah.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard for why to become a vegan.
Yeah, every Mexican out here should just not drink milk because, trust me, every Mexican you know farts a lot, right? Have you met a Mexican that don't fart a lot?
I've never considered that. I would take some.
For real, this Mexican right now farting. I'm with you. I'm drinking a shake right now. It's made up of horchata. I love it.
When you're on the road, though, especially the life of a comic, when you're in a different city sometimes every weekend, month after month, isn't it kind of difficult to always be able to find a place that can accommodate what you're asking?
Man, I annoy the hell out of everybody. I'm at Taco Bell. Yeah, could I have a bean burrito? What you want in it? Just beans. You want cheese on it? Nah, just beans. Are you sure? No, just beans on it.
You want wrapped in anything? Nope,
no,
just
no,
beans.
No. Just put it in my hand. I'll eat it in my hand. Give me a straw.
Have you lost weight in the last year as a result of this?
I lost like 40 pounds. I was weighing like 308.
That's significant.
So that like is significant. 265 pounds.
Is it worth
That's
it?
That's great.
Nah.
No.
Okay. I miss it.
When you go home, does your mom say, come on?
They think I'm a sellout.
You're a sellout.
They look at me like I brought in a black girl to the house. You know, like, it's tough. They look at me like I brought a Salvadoran girl home. You know, it's tough. You're not Mexican no more.
Yeah.
Get out of here. You sellout.
You are not my son.
You are not my son. She was, my mom was speaking to me like Edward James almost, get out of here.
Oh, that's
we
sad.
We don't need you here.
That's sad. And you're just trying to be healthy.
I'm just trying to be healthy.
Wow. That's funny. You are less Mexican than you were the last time we talked to you. I'm very disappointed. I
still drink horchata, but with coconut milk.
With coconut milk?
Coconut milk is very big now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do a lot with that, actually.
Horchata, you know, is Mexican Thai iced tea.
Sure.
It's, to you guys, it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal, but to us, it's
that sounds pretty good.
Being a vegan, man, on the road. I'm with Bean. That seems like, on the road, it seems like you
eat
just,
where you can.
You eat where you can, yeah. You eat what you can, and it's just, you can't stay, you know, disciplined.
Yeah, man, it's funny, like, I get these Latinos, they want to invite me to go eat after tacos. I told them, I don't eat that stuff. He goes, you're a sellout, homie.
You're a sellout. Wow. Just because you won't eat tacos.
They took away my Mexican card.
Oh, that sucks. Who's they, first of all? And when? How do you get it back?
I don't know, man.
Just eat a taco? That's it?
Eat a taco? Maybe a trailer chat chick, I guess.
How do they take your Mexican card away? That's just not possible.
I don't
possible.
Know, man. You're not Mexican no more,
You're the most Mexican guy I know.
Thank you.
Felipe Esparza. Funny Felipe on Twitter. Follow his website, too, at felipesworld.com and see him on stage at the John Lovitz Comedy Club all weekend long, starting tonight at 8 o'clock. Tickets are just $20. It's always great to see you, my friend, although I feel like I don't know you anymore, but thanks a lot for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man.
What you talking about, Ralph?
Ba 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 ba.
This is what I'm talking about.
Spider-Man. Does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size. Catches seeds just like flies. Look out.
Look out.
Here comes a Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood.
Those are the lyrics?
My favorite lyric from that song by far. Yeah,
bud.
We've been giving away tickets to the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah!
I am just over the moon about this movie. I cannot wait to see it. It is going to happen in Westwood. You will see it before anybody else on the 28th of June. On the red carpet will be all the stars of the movie, including Andrew Garfield, the new Spider-Man, Emma Stone, Dennis Leary, Martin Sheen, Sally Field, Reese Afonso.
Anyone we've heard of?
Theaters everywhere will have the film July the 3rd on a Tuesday, but you will see it before anybody else if you're the person who knows the answer to my trivia question. We've been having fun all morning with the Spider-Man cartoon from the 60s, playing you little snippets of dialogue from the legendary Spider-Man villains that appeared in that cartoon series. We did Electro. We did, what was the other one we did?
The Great Question.
We did the Lizard.
The Lizard. The Lizard.
The Question's not a villain. He's a superhero.
Whatever.
And he's not even Marvel.
Oh.
So get it right.
Sorry.
Here's another clip from the 60s TV series. You just need to identify what Spider-Man supervillain this is.
Spider-Man, no one can interfere with my plans. I'll stop you with my all-powerful arms.
Who's that? 1-800-520-1067. If you know the answer, be the first caller to get through, and you get a pair of tickets to attend the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
It's all-powerful arm man.
That's right. It's Bicep Boy. Tonight on television, MTV, Snooki and JWoww. They're two wacky girls living together in Jersey.
Sure not having fun.
They sure are not having fun. One is pregnant. One is hot. They're a wacky couple. That can't possibly be any good, right?
I can't imagine, though.
Nine!
You going to tune in, though? You going to check it out?
Nope.
It seems like it could be so bad, couldn't it?
You might have to take a peek, right, Lisa? That's how I kind of feel.
Yeah.
Ralph, I mean, you're our showbiz guy.
You're saying
well,
I should
what he's
watch?
Saying.
Well, I'm saying maybe you should.
I'm very busy tonight.
Allison is different.
No, I did. I got the TED premiere tonight.
Oh, okay.
Red carpet all premiere right. of TED is this evening.
And I'm in that, you know.
No, that turns out I'm the one that's in that. Yeah.
Right.
Are you walking the media line and people will be interviewing you, Ralph?
I don't think so. I am happy to have a seat in the theater to watch the movie. I don't think I will be
invited to walk the
As
the line.
Mark Wahlberg's father, I think you're being treated pretty shoddily.
I am not actually his father. And my role in the film is brief. Brief but impactful. But brief, nonetheless.
Just stand next to Wahlberg every step of the way on the red carpet. Yeah,
I play his dad. I play his dad. I play his dad. Mark. I play his dad. Mark. I play his dad. Just stick my head into every interview that he does.
Awesome.
Until he punches me and tells me to say hello to my mother. No, because you got Mila Kunis, you got Seth, you got him, you got Joel McHale, you got stars.
You have actual stars.
Stars people have to talk to. Well, we're talking about stars. Marissa Miller, Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. She is pregnant.
Nine!
No, I'm sorry. She is expecting her first child with her husband, Griffin Guess. Griffin Guess. What kind of name is that? Sounds like the Riddler.
Does.
She's expecting in the fall. Molly Sims, actress and model, just had a baby boy on Tuesday. What's all these smoking hot chicks having babies?
I don't think they're following you guys' rules.
Didn't we have some kind of legislation pushed through last year regarding all this?
I don't think it was legislation.
I think it's a contract that you have to sign, and they didn't sign it.
Apparently they didn't.
Everyone's a dumb whore.
Well, I don't think that's the case
at all.
Sad news. Flamboyant pop artist Leroy Neiman has passed away at the age of 91 years old.
He played Mr. Spock on the Star Trek series, didn't he, Ralph?
Wow. How do you get Leonard Nimoy from Leroy Neiman?
I'm sorry.
Because they have the same initials?
Put that in the file for tomorrow.
With prejudice. File that with prejudice.
When we're doing Would You Like to Take That Back?
Yeah.
Just say it.
Tomorrow. He's known for his very colorful, impressionistic murals of famous sporting events, including the Olympic Games.
And for being a Vulcan.
Many of Ali's fights. He also made a painting of Rocky and Apollo Creed in the Rocky movie. You may have seen him in that.
So. Neiman Marcus? That's him.
Mark, you're going to do me a favor.
Come on!
Double up some room in that file in that particular section. Justin Bieber was at the Pearson Airport in Toronto last Friday waiting for his girlfriend.
I don't know much about the Bieber. Never see him. I don't know what he does.
Yeah, you wouldn't like him, Mr. President. He was waiting for his girlfriend Selena Gomez to land, and there was a pack of adoring fans there, and Justin snapped and demanded to be left alone because, in his quote, "I'm just a human being."
Oh, shut up.
"I would like to get some DNA and test that to make sure, because I don't believe you are. I think you're a fembot."
Just a human being.
Yeah.
What do you think the likelihood is that this story is accurate?
100%. 100%.
I don't know.
Don't pick on my Beeb. He's a nice guy. I'm sure he's wonderful. And he probably gave them all cars and paid for their tuition for college.
He's a little dick. You know that.
I don't have any way of knowing whether it's true or not. I'm just curious because he does, you know, he's very popular right now. And it seems like if you can print an article about him where he's behaving badly, you know, people do. I just wonder if it's true. That's all.
Well,
I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He is going to be wishing he behaved differently when he's in prison for punching that photographer. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I hope that happens.
Because those guys aren't going to ask for an autograph. They're going to give him an autograph with their flesh pens.
I think we understand.
I don't think
exactly
you understand what I'm saying.
Pens.
I don't think you understand.
I'm finally a jury you guys want to be on.
Oh,
finally.
If I could get on that jury.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh.
Guilty!
I'd be screaming, death! Death! From the jury.
Is meat on the menu this week?
It is when Biebs is in the hoosegow. And this is some BS, right?
Yes.
Twitter announcing they're expanding their tweets.
Oh, what's that mean?
Some people will have the benefit of expanded tweets. 410 characters.
What?
Instead of 140 characters.
That's called a blog.
Exactly.
And how are they picking?
Apparently.
Because Bean.
Can you imagine Bean with 410 characters?
That's what I'm saying.
Your eyes would literally burn out of your skull.
They should take good tweeters and give them more space and bad tweeters and make them do 70 characters.
Well, apparently, Kevin, the expanded tweets will only go to certain interactive partners Twitter's going to have on its site.
Oh.
Like the New York Times, BuzzFeed, and TMZ. And they'll have expanded tweets, and then you'll be able to interact with links inside of those tweets to go to their sites. This sounds like a big effing commercial deal
to me.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Look, the reason we like Twitter is it's bite-sized, is that it's easy, it's fast, it's quick. We don't need more.
And it puts restraint on certain people who would otherwise run rampant with their useless facts.
I don't want any more room. I don't like it at all.
Should give you less room.
That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, I just read this story today, and it made me very disturbed, so... We need to do something.
Open up a blog.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's great advice right there.
Open up a blog. That's what I'm going to do. Ashton Kutcher.
Guilty.
His production company
is suing the California DMV.
All right, I'm in with that.
For more than $1 million after the DMV pulled out of a proposed reality TV show he was producing in conjunction with them. The show was supposed to focus on various humanizing and entertaining situations that arise on a daily basis in the DMV offices.
That sounds terrible.
No word on why the folks at DMV changed their mind. Maybe they realized it sounded terrible.
Hey, you guys know it's Ashton Kutcher, right?
But they backed out of the deal, and now Ashton is cheesed off and is suing them for more than $1 million. Really? $1 million? What could have cost $1 million that you need to get your money back from?
Maybe that was, the amount they were going to, pitch in or something.
Who knows? I don't know. That would have been awful, right? A day in the life of the DMV?
Well, if it's written as a comedy by talented people and acted by talented people.
Hey, the creative mind of Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, good point.
Thank you.
No way.
Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I believe Tom on line 4 may know the answer. Can we play the clip one more time?
Spider-Man, no one can interfere with my plans. I'll stop you with my all-powerful arms.
I'll stop you with my all-powerful arms.
Who is that, Tom?
Dr. Octopus.
Doc Ock. Of course it is.
Doc Ock.
Doc Ock.
Of course it's Doc Ock.
It's Doc Ock.
Of course.
Hold on, Tom. We're going to give you all the details. You're going to see the red carpet premiere of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Doc I don't want to answer that question. That's a clown question, bro.
My powerful arms will stop you. It's Charlton Heston?
No.
Ah. My arms. I'll stop when you pry my arms from my cold, dead arms.
Ah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Doug Savant is 48 years old today. Comedian Jim Brewer turns 45. Juliette Lewis is 39. You ever see that movie where she and Giovanni Ribisi play Tards in Love?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
You've seen
it's called
that?
Tards in Love.
Yeah, I don't believe it was called Tards in Love.
It's called
that was really good.
The Other Sister. The Other Sister.
Yeah. I did see that. No, probably my wife took me to it. Probably my wife.
I can't believe Kevin saw that either.
Probably my wife took me
to it. But there's a lot of tarding going on in that movie.
There
boy,
is.
The two of them go full tard, both of them.
But it's really good.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
Really?
Diane Keaton plays her mom in it. It's an excellent film. I want to get married.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
She's crazy, by the way, Juliette Lewis, in real life. But
her band is out there.
Out That's there, yeah. Sure. But, I mean, I think of her in that was the Brad Pitt California movie that she did with him, and she did Natural Born Killers. I mean, she's really done some great
Cape
work.
Cape Fear, remember in Cape Fear?
Oh, Cape Fear, yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Mike Enzinger of Incubus is 36 years old today. Erica Durance, who played Lois Lane on Smallville, turns 34. Why isn't she in every television show now?
That's a good question.
She's not working. I need to see her on my television. Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation is 33. Brandon Flowers of The Killers turns 31. Lana Del Rey is 26.
Obviously.
And Rebecca Black turns 15.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
That existed.
Speaking of full tard. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Her follow-up, and I don't think that kept her fans happy with that one.
Well, she's got a stretch as an artist.
I like that one a lot better. Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bicho, we have Bob Saget on the program. We have Would You Like to Take That Back? With fresh cuts from Bean.
Bean and Kevin.
And me.
Doing Neiman Marcus jokes.
Look, I like to play every once in a while. I usually don't get to. Dana White will be on the show tomorrow, the president of the UFC. Patton Oswalt will be in studio.
Oh, mm-hmm. Ozzy.
We have the movie beat. And from the Smashing Pumpkins, talking about the new album, we've got Billy Corgan in the studio.
Excellent.
How about that? All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.